But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill, a working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Good morning. Welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting. We're getting ready to start. Just wanted to give everybody a heads up. And if we can, we'll go to the clerk for roll call.
Commissioner Shajian. Commissioner Greer.
Here.
Commissioner Parker. Commissioner Mercurimi?
Here.
Commissioner Sanchez?
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
Here.
Commissioner Stone?
Here.
Commissioner Wong? Chair Newey?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And now let's go to the staff to review the agenda for today, any changes, and also some ground rules.
Thank you, Chair Newey. Good morning, members of the commission, and for the audience. If you wish to speak on an item today, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip. They're on the table outside the hearing room. Please be sure to put your name and item number on the slip and bring it up to the staff table. Chair Leaney will call your name prior to the item being heard. We also ask that you turn off your cell phones or put them on silent mode. They do disrupt the meeting. And next, I'd like to go over the changes on today's agenda. On page 13, there are no changes. On page 14, item 9A, the 2H properties is postponed. Item 9B, the NF Marina is postponed. And on page 15, there are no changes. And the next item is item 4. These are the administrative permits for the South Coast District, LA County.
Actually, we have to take public comment
first.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Thank you. We're anxious to roll as well. So at this time, we're going to take general public comment. This is an opportunity for the public to comment on items that are not on the regular agenda. And I'm going to read off the first three names, and if you could move towards the microphone, that would be helpful. David Barish, Liz Greenberger, John Rizzo, Carla Anders. And state your name for the record, and you'll each have 3 minutes.
Just waiting for the PowerPoint.
Okay.
The PowerPoint first, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable commissioners. I hope you've enjoyed your stay in the marina. My name is David Barish from We Are Marina Del Rey, and I wanted to show you some pictures from Parcel 9U here in the marina, which is where the Regional Planning Commission approved a 19-story hotel and timeshare. And I want to show you why we think that this project needs to be stopped from all levels. This is a great blue heron that I took a picture of this year in February. This is another great blue heron flying over the parcel. You can see the boats in the background. This is a great blue heron that caught a mouse the parcel is already designated a wetland per And then that's the same heron taking in that mouse. Here are two great egrets who are foraging around. On that day, I spotted two there. This day, you can see an egret and a heron foraging around. Here, there's four great egrets. There were five actually that day, but I only was able to capture four in one photo. And then here's the other, same four foraging around. This is the entire parcel they're moving around, not just the designated wetland, the Army Corps wetland. This is a nearby roosting and site for the great the great egrets, which is less than a half mile away. This is breeding ground, breeding nests for the great blue herons. This is less than a half mile away from this parcel. I'd like to have the video, please. Thank you. I have a video to show you of the egrets foraging. But what I'd like to ask is, we believe that this entire parcel is a wetland and ESHA, and the county has approved, you know, tentatively approved this project. We would ask that the Coastal Commission have their biologist, Joan Engel, come down and do a biological survey, site survey of this project. It's really needed. This is a beautiful site. This is where else can you find this beautiful birds in an urban setting? Working with us, it's really worth protecting. And I just find it magnificent to have these birds moving around. Here's the great egret looking for food. They're obviously using this site to forage. We also think they're using the site to get to build their nests, to get the twigs and stuff from the eggs. We've had one of our own biologists review the site, and we really believe that it needs to be protected. And I was wondering how we can have Joan Engel come down and review the site, how that would work. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good morning. My name is Liz Greenberger, and I represent a new program in the marina called Row LA. Row LA is a program for inner city minority girls to learn how to row, as in crew, for college sport and academic tutoring, SAT preparation, and assistance with the college and financial aid application process. We at Row LA would like to cooperate with all kinds of agencies and institutions in marina, in this marina here, because we see this marina as a wonderful opportunity for youngsters in the city of Los Angeles to make a life change. Currently, the marina has recreational sport for small groups and rowing only for students who can pay a large tuition. Our program will be completely scholarship and tuition free, and there are over 2,000 scholarships to colleges throughout the United States in the sport of women's rowing. We feel like it's time for the students of Los Angeles to have access to these scholarships. Other cities where this kind of a program are happening are Boston. G-Row is girls' row along the Charles River. They saw that as an opportunity and reached out to the youngsters in the city of Boston and now have rowers and academic tutoring, and all those girls go to college. Similar program is happening in New York. It's called Row New York on the Hudson River. They are started with 4 students 9 years ago and are at 350 students. All of the girls going to college on rowing scholarships, partial and full. So it's time for these waters out here to be used for our students in Los Angeles. We do nutritional counseling, so we're fighting obesity. We are working with youngsters who have never been involved in a sport at all, teaching them the sport of rowing indoors and on the water. Within 6 months, we are able to raise enough money to buy a boat. We are at about $20,000 with fundraising. We're very active in the fundraising area. We need a home. We need a place to be, a place to keep our boats, and a place for this program to call home, because we know it's going to develop very quickly. We are now approaching about 9 months into operation. We're expanding from the initial set of girls to about 25 this summer. We have Loyola Marymount and other university programs interested in collaborating with us, academic programs in the city of Los Angeles. We need these waters to be used for recreational purposes and educational purposes for our youth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. John Rizzo, Carla Anders, Nancy Marino.
John Rizzo, President of the Marina Tenants Association.
You speak into the microphone, sir.
John Rizzo, President of Marina Tennis Association.
Yeah, you need to pull the microphone up. That's it.
Excuse me. John Rizzo, President of the Marina Tennis Association. To the California Coastal Commission, again, the Marina Tennis Association calls for an audit of the management of Marina Del Rey by the County of Los Angeles. The price controls that are not being enforced have limited access to the marina by a large segment of the population. This violates the Coastal Act as well as laws governing public land. Also, the county receives its money on the market value of the land under the leaseholds in the marina. It doesn't matter if the rents are high or low. The county can adjust the percentage rental collected to make sure that the county is getting its fair share. You can see from attached newspaper articles that this has not been the case in the past. Attachments. Letter from our attorney, which was delivered to you on October 15, 2008, asking for an attorney general audit of Marina Del Rey. Two, county council opinion dated October 28, 1980, on selling long-term apartment leases in the Marina City Club and price controls in the marina. Advised against selling long-term apartment leases and advised that price control must be enforced in the marina. Today they are selling long-term apartment leases and price controls are at market value. Los Angeles Times article dated April 1992 on how badly the County Board of Supervisors mismanages Marina Del Rey. Number four, Los Angeles Times article dated January 9, 2000 on how badly the County Board of Supervisors mismanages Marina Del Rey. Marina Del Rey mismanagement has been going on since its inception, and everybody that's investigated from the Weekly to the Times has wrote numerous articles on it, which I will provide to you along with other materials, the county council. They don't listen to their own attorneys. The lessees are making hundreds of millions of dollars more than they're entitled to. The public is being squeezed out of the marina more and more, and with their new plans will be squeezed even more. The land in the marina is not being used as recreational land, but enhanced the lessees and make them more money who are kicked back. It's a play for pay operation in the marina, and their supervisors are getting enormous campaign contributions. The Coastal Commission is an oversight body to them, and we would like this audit. It's timely. It should be done before anything more is done in the marina. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Schnellenberger?
Yeah, I'd like to ask staff, there's kind of a developing theme here that we're hearing out of Marina Del Rey over the last 3 days, that we are an oversight here, a committee, commission, and that we should do audits, that we should send our biologists in to look to determine whether something is ESHA when a project isn't before us. And could you just speak to our actual jurisdiction? I don't want people leaving feeling that we're not really taking our job seriously and doing everything we can, but from what I understand, much of what we've been asked to do is just not within our jurisdiction or our purview. So if you could address that, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, Commissioner and Madam Chair, that's correct. This type of auditing, particularly with respect to price controls and that sort of management of slips, is not really something that the Coastal Commission is charged with, as opposed to what we do have jurisdiction over, which is the land use and development issues related to local coastal planning, designation of appropriate land uses, and then the associated permitting issues that you reference, such as when new development is proposed. And this type of thing that's being addressed is not really development within the terms of our jurisdiction.
Council? The only thing I would add to that is if there are permit conditions or LCP conditions or proposals for new CDPs or LCP amendments that come forward and the Commission imposes requirements related to those sorts of things, then the Commission could have the ability to look at that in the future, or if there are any identified permit conditions already existing.
Yes, right. Just to elaborate, the definition of development that we have jurisdiction over includes changes in intensity of use and then associated permit conditions that may be attached to permits, similar to, say, the activity with condo hotels and sort of the detailed conditions we may get into in a proposal of that nature.
All right, thank you. Carla Anders? Is Carla here? Carla Anders? And then Nancy Marino, Bruce Heyman, and Dan Gottlieb.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm extremely nervous because
I
just
made state your name for the record, ma'am?
It's audio, yeah. Yeah.
And can you state your name for the record as well, Carla?
My name is Carla Andrus.
Thank you.
And I just tried to throw this CD together real quick for you. Anyway, this is Mother's Beach. It was May 22nd, right outside my boat at Holiday Harbor where I live. And you can see the activity going on in Mother's Beach with the Boy Scouts. Actually, the Boy Scouts who used to have their meeting rooms right here in the marina near Burton Chase Park, but they were evicted out of there. So they're over here anyway enjoying the water. And this is the parking lot at the Holiday Harbor, known as GR. And you can see that it's very utilized. There are hundreds of people down there. And as I was walking, I ran into a few people, and they had some comments for the commissioners.
My name's Elizabeth Walls. I've lived in the marina for 5 years. We live in the Marina Peninsula, my husband and I. And one of our draws here is this beautiful beach, Mother's Beach. I'm about to be a mother. And it's really, really important to us and the community that we keep our parking lots so that we can continue to enjoy the beaches and the beautiful land around us. Of course, we're for development. We understand that buildings have to go up and residents have to have a place to live. But, you know, we just want to make our plea that to protect what land we have here to park and keep visitors coming. We have our in-laws in town and as well as our family a place to go and enjoy the beach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Two are doing canoeing practice with our scouts. We teach them canoeing. They are mad. We come to the marinas on Saturday mornings to work on this. The boys are learning basic safety skills. Practice here at the marina. They're getting ready for a big summer trip this year. We go to Catalina Island. We will have about 40 or 50 people canoeing around Catalina Island this summer. So we really appreciate having this resource available.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nancy Marino, Bruce Heyman, Dan Gottlieb, and Marcia Hanscom.
Can you put up the slideshow for Nancy Marino? Thank you very much. Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Nancy Vernon Marino, and I am co-director of We Are Marina Del Rey. You just saw one event over at Mother's Beach that filled a parking lot. I would like to show you this event from just a couple of weeks ago. It was a paddling regatta, and there were boats, 59 boats from 29 clubs from Santa Barbara to Oceanside, and even one from Arizona that came into town. And these are just a few of the views here of the beach. They had tents all over. There were just, many, many hundreds of people here. This is over next to a parking lot OT, which is the one that is a, quote, underutilized parking lot. We beg to disagree. It's that these parking lots are underserved by recreation. When there is recreation available, these lots are jammed. Here is another one of NR across the street. You can see the trailers for these outriggers. You cannot put these in parking garages up on the second or third level. It just is not practical. This is another view of parking lot NR, which is proposed for a residential conversion. You can see the trailers. You have to have this space for recreation. This is the Mother's Beach parking lot IR that they proposed for hotel. Another view of the IR. If you have the recreation, you need the parking. These parking lots are underserved by recreation. Here are some more pictures of the event. And when these outriggers learned that the parking lots were going to go away, they said, well, how will we have this event here? So we will lose this recreational event if we do not have the parking. And this is a long view showing, we couldn't get it all into a single view. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that we have creative ideas for development that we think will serve economically to enhance the county revenues, but at the same time, it will fulfill both the recreational mandate of Marina Del Rey and the Coastal Act requirement to preserve and enhance access for the public for recreation. I remind you that all of the land here in Marina Del Rey was acquired on the basis that it would be developed for recreational use. And that has not happened. We have 68%, a little over 68%, devoted to non-recreational uses. 6% of the 401 acres of land is recreation or parks. We think the county can do better. We think it can do better economically as well as socially. So we ask you for your support. Thank you for your time, and thank you so much for coming to Marina Del Rey.
Bruce Heyman, Dan Gottlieb, Marcia Hanscom, Dale Steffi.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and commissioners, and staff, and members of the public. I'd like to talk about two things this morning. First, I'd like to thank staff for their comments on Wednesday that we'll be able to deal with the dry boat storage issue during the upcoming IP hearing, probably in November, and during CDP phases. But I also want to bring up the issue that we're already starting to see a new baseline form. So while when we held the hearing back in October, there were 683 storage locations, they've already started, since the hearing, started clearing out that area where the parking garage is going to go because the merchants and the restaurants need the parking spaces. So, you know, I'm concerned that we're going to have a new baseline or a new starting conditions when we sit in front of you for an IP or a CDP. We've already seen that happen on the water side where the baseline is 2,409 slips, yet dozens of small slips have been eliminated already and large slips created out of them, and no CDPs were ever issued for that work. The other thing I wanted to bring up to you is as we're working into the IP phase, Boaters for Dana Point Harbor has the only public document that we have is actually the document that was written in 2006. And, of course, the problem with that document is that was part of the original LCP. And as this commission knows, your staff had to rewrite the land use plan to bring it into compliance with the Coastal Act. And we left the IP off behind. So the IP is horribly out of date and horribly incongruent with the land use plan, but yet that's the only document we have to work with. We, on staff's advice, we did provide our markup of about 154-page document of that implementation plan. We provided it to the city and we provided it to the county, and the ping pong ball is bouncing back and forth between the county and the city as to whose document it is. We see in the newsletter that the county says that they're now developing a new draft of this document and they're working with staff on it. And I guess the question I have for is, why can't the public have that document as well? Why can't we be working on it? I mean, I've seen this movie before, and the movie plays out that towards the end of, if we're going to have this IP hearing in November, we'll get the document in the third or second week of October, and it'll be several hundred pages, and we'll have very little time to modify it. The commission used to have a policy that if they received the document that was secret or not available to the public, It got put in the envelope, returned to sender, and sent back. I'd ask that we reinstitute that, and that would help the public who want to work hard, like your staff, on the document and make it easier for you when you actually get to the hearing. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Dan Gottlieb?
Good morning. My name is Daniel Gottlieb, and I'm a professor emeritus of mathematics. And I'd like to extend the series of talks I've been giving you by finishing it off. The talk I gave you last time involved a serious mathematical error, which I think was done on purpose in order to allow the consultants to make the claim that the large boats, which are displacing, they're using to argue that we need larger slips, which drive out the smaller boats, is economically is the new economical situation, and the mathematics that they use behind it is totally flawed. And I gave you, I hope you got documents where that's shown. You can go to your math departments in your locality, and they'll tell you that it's correct what I said. And and I practiced that particular speech at the small craft harbor on Wednesday. And at the end, the chairman of the Mr. Lesser said, "Well, what do you want me to do with this document?" And I didn't have an answer, but I thought about it. And I think the first thing you should be is troubled. It should bother you. Whatever you do, it should bother you. It's like maybe the accountants at dealing with Enron must have been bothered when they began the descent of the ending of the accounting era. The stock market people must have been bothered when they regulated the SEC, when they didn't regulate things. There must be a lot of people who were bothered, troubled. And the next thing is maybe you can investigate privately just to see if it's right. Go to your university, go ask your staff, get them, because there's a lot of good people that are seem to be forced into situations by they might be fired, they might not get enough money to be reelected. There's a lot of pressures that would take people who really are decent people and twist them out of position. So you should investigate quietly to see if it's correct. And then maybe you can do something small to demonstrate the behavior is unacceptable. One of my examples, I'm guessing, but one of my examples is Zev Yaroslavsky, who has asked pointed questions of some of the developers, which forces them to sort of not exactly live up to the oath that they swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcia Hanscom, followed by Daryl Steffi, Linda Owen, and Keith Weimer. And I think that will probably be the end of our public comment for this morning.
Thank you. Marcia Hanscom at the Biona Institute. I want to tell you a little bit about an exciting discovery that's happened just a little west of the Marina Del Rey area here at the Biona Lagoon. Orchid's yellow pincushion, a very rare coastal strand plant sand dune species, has been discovered. And the State Department of Fish and Game Botanist has now declared that this plant is not only rare but imperiled and probably should be put on the endangered species list. You can see it's a very beautiful yellow sunflower pincushion, and you can see the sandy soil there. The pincushion also has a lot of insects, so it's contributing to the diversity, including this very rare moth. So you can see that there's a lot of important ecological issues here. The Spider taxifolia, which is a wetland plant, combined with the pincushion, was something that the Native Americans used for food source. So there's also some ethnobotany cultural resources here. This is the Biona Lagoon Marine Preserve where this was found, and you can see it's an upland dune plant, but really part of the greater Biona wetlands ecosystem. You can see the pincushion above the marsh here and the lighthouse bridge in the background. And you can also see the difference between the East Bank restoration that was done a number of years ago and the West Bank, that's the sandy soil, and we've actually learned some lessons here. The East Bank is heavily irrigated. A lot of plants were planted from the Santa Monica Mountains, not necessarily sand dune area plants. And so now the fish and game botanist is saying, you know, I really want to relook at the palette for restoration for the West Bank, because if we're going to protect this pincushion, we have to make sure that, one, we're not irrigating the area, and two, and in fact, irrigation has already been installed by the city, leaking onto the sand dune area. It will likely imperil a number of the plants. And so what we're finding, that this has implications for the future of native plant ecological restoration. Is restoration possible without irrigation systems? We've found, yes, in our area adjacent to this where we're doing a community restoration, we're doing hand watering. And is it labor intensive? Yes. But better, we think, to spend the money on volunteer coordination and getting volunteers and community people out. Now, there are some impacts to this pincushion. So far, we've had city workers painting the curbs nearby, and the plants get painted too. Some of the plants were not flagged during the restoration process, and others were. There was heavy machinery, which the Coastal Commission said was not to be happening out here. It was all to be removed by hand. Ice plant was placed on top of the habitat. And we have some really serious issues that I hope you can help us with. And we have a proposed solution, so we'd like to work with your staff on it. Thank you.
Daryl Steffi, Linda Owen, Keith Weimer.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Daryl Steffi, and as I indicated the last couple of days, I am a longtime supporter, resident, voter in the community, and currently cover all categories. Another key problem area, in addition to those I mentioned over the last 2 days in the marina, affecting public access is a plan to convert most of the public parking lots to private development, as was emphasized by several other public comment speakers. This is contrary to the LCP. These public parking lots were purposely located around the marina by the original designers of the marina to provide public access to all the various areas in the marina. The county now has current and future plans to turn these areas over to private development for more high-rise, high-density residential units, and in many cases, inappropriate, uncontrolled commercial development on waterfront public property, to the detriment of the general public, as well as the local boating, the marina, and surrounding communities. Unfortunately, the stated county policy of proactive asset management to maximize revenue says it all. It says nothing about public access or recreational boating. Unfortunately, it now appears to be all about money. The county looks at the marina as an ever-increasing money tree and a goose that continuously lays larger and larger golden eggs. The Board of Supervisors, directly or indirectly, controls all aspects of the process through budget approvals, key appointments, or hires. This leaves little incentive or motivation for any organization or person to stand up and do the right thing. Everything gets rubber stamped all the way up the chain without any real critical analysis. A good example of this is the Marine Design Control Board. This board responsibility included reviewing projects to ensure compatibility and compliance with the local coastal plan. As a result of challenging and questioning the details of the Mother's Beach project, the county saw fit to pass an amendment, which unfortunately came before this board, and I understand you didn't have the jurisdiction or the basis to deny it. But they passed an amendment stripping the DCB of this power and limiting board to review of architectural design and landscape only. It now appears that the commission is the public's last hope to prevent the overdevelopment and destruction of Marina Del Rey. And I sincerely request, on behalf of all the community and the boating public, that you make every attempt to do exactly this and prevent this overdevelopment. I was also shocked to hear yesterday at the Small Craft Harbor Commission meeting, unless I misunderstood, that only a budget of $1 million is funneled back to the marina for the marina's use out of the hundreds of million dollars collected by the county. I think this is totally unacceptable. And this is why that the blueprint, the footprint, is becoming more and more of high-density revenue-creating sources. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Owen.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Lindy Owen from Los Osos, and I wanted to begin my public comment on my concern about gravity sewers. And the damage that they do.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We're going to have a hearing on that item later today, and that would probably
I'm not talking about Los Osos. I'm talking about coastal pollution.
Council.
I have a list of articles that,
hold on, please,
that show pollution along the coast.
Excuse me, Speaker.
This sounds like you're discussing coastal pollution in the Los Osos area, which is directly related to the Los Osos matter that will be heard later today.
I hadn't planned on speaking to pollution in Los Osos.
All right, carry on.
There's an entire coast.
So,
if
you will not be speaking to pollution in Los Osos,
no,
then.
No, I wasn't. Okay. My concern is far larger than Los Osos. And I don't know, did you get my handout that shows is a clogged gravity sewer pipe? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe that was identified as Los Osos handout.
No, this is from the internet. This is just shows what happens to the gravity sewer pipes. And it's my identification. I think there's a lack of understanding, perhaps, about how much damage, and because you don't have an overhead, I cannot read these or show these to you, but I wanted to read off I collect piles of data about spills in California, and I'll tell you where the spills are coming from. They're coming from broken gravity sewer lines, they're coming from pump lift stations. They're not basically coming from the plants very often. It's usually the pipelines that run through under the ground buried that cannot be seen. And when they have a break, they're not necessarily caught until millions of gallons of raw sewage are leaked into waterways. My concern is that everything that I read in my green magazines that are about water, I'm on a water, my water is my thing, say that you do not want to go with these gravity sewers at this point anymore. We need to begin to look at new technology that keeps seal pipes more flexible that do not break. And so I'm trying to point that out as something that I think everybody on this commission, if this is what your concern is about pollution on the coast, you would want to start believing in new technologies that can eliminate those kinds of potentials. That's where the pollution comes from. Show me any spill with bacteria that did not come from a gravity sewer line or a lift station. I would love to see it. I've never heard of one coming from a septic tank or an outhouse or anything like that. So, and my second point that I wanted to make is that I understand that you have a lot of paperwork to go through. Staff has probably the worst job of the whole thing. But what I'm beginning to see is an overload on documentation. Now, CEQA says that you should be presenting information that is precise, concise, and legible to the common person. And I've read several CEQA reports recently that were just that. I could get to the end of them in a short time. I could read through them, gloss over things, go back, get the information I wanted. They were very clear and easy to understand. And that includes, that's EIRs and other different types of staff reports. What I see coming out now is, and I know this has happened, there are two awards that were just given by the National Engineers Association to written EIRs. One of them was 4,000 pages and incomprehensible, and the other, I understand, was also gigantic. So I want you to understand that it isn't the volume or the weight of the paper that makes for a good EIR. Thank you.
Keith Weimer is the last speaker for this morning's public comment section.
Could you load the presentation? Keith Weimer. Thank you. My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group, and thank you, Commissioners. I wanted to talk about seawater intrusion in Los Osos. About a year ago, I came before you. And,
once again, Council. The speaker is speaking to Los Osos again. If you could address that. Sir, we're having a hearing on that item later today.
Sir, this is public comment for items that are not on the agenda. In order to make sure we have a full and complete record for items that are on the agenda, we take our testimony during those items. Otherwise, it is not part of the record. It is not part of the testimony on the item, and this is separate time that's specifically for items not on the agenda.
Different issue. It's been
this
handled
is a general
on a different
comment,
track.
Sir. This is a general comment. It's not specific to an item on the agenda.
Well, this is seawater intrusion. It's not wastewater.
Totally related. Counsel, it's your call.
Yes, but that's related to the wastewater treatment plant in Los Osos and potential issues that are being raised about it, and that's properly raised during the agenda item.
And we'd love to hear your testimony when the item comes up, sir. All right, thank you. So that'll be our last public comment, and let's go back to the regular agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now we move on to the South Coast District, the Los Angeles portion of the agenda. And item 4 is the administrative calendar for the South Coast District, LA County. There are 3 administrative items. We're not aware of any public opposition to these items. We ask that the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination and approve the administrative calendar.
All right. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
And item 5 is the consent calendar for the South Coast District, LA County. Again, we are not aware of any opposition. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant. We ask that the Commission approve the consent calendar.
All right, thank you. Any ex partes on item 5A from commissioners? Seeing none, the pleasure of the Commission.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the consent agenda items.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Sanchez. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And the next item 6 is the Deputy Director's report for the South Coast District, LA County. This is the list of waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions for LA County. And today I'm only reporting the LA County portion of the Deputy Director's report. The Orange County portion was reported on Wednesday. So the items that are being reported to you today are item number 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 13, 14, and 16. And staff recommends the Commission concur with the Executive Director and approve the Deputy Director's report.
All right. Any objection to concurrence with the Executive Director's report? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
And the next item is item 8A. This is a request for an extension of time to consider the City of Rancho Palos Verdes LCP Amendment 1-10, which is to amend the Land Use Plan and Implementation Plan portion of its Certified Local Coastal Program, which would change the land use and zoning designation for a vacant parcel on Nantasket Drive. Staff needs additional time to review this item. Therefore, we're requesting that the Commission extend the time period for up to 1 year pursuant to our regulations. The city is aware of this request, and the motion to extend the time limit is found on page 2 of the staff report.
All right. Any ex parte communications from commissioners? Seeing none, Commissioner Sanchez.
I move that the commission extend the 90-day time limit to act on the City of Rancho Palos Verdes Local Coastal Program Amendment Number 1-10 for a period of 1 year. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Shaji, and the maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the extension is granted.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. This takes us to energy and federal consistency items today. Yesterday, we provided you with a deputy director report that includes a de minimis waiver and an immaterial amendment. Unless you have questions or concerns, we are recommending that you concur in the executive director's determination to approve both of these.
All right. Any objection to concurrence from commissioners? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
Thank you. Now, the next item is item 12A, and on this I can be brief. This is a proposal by Southern California Gas Company to inspect and maintain 2 segments of an existing natural gas pipeline near UC Santa Barbara. The work will result in a disturbance of about 1,650 square feet of salt marsh habitat in the Goleta Slough. a pre-project biological survey found about 300 feet from the work area the presence of Belding's savanna sparrow, which is listed as endangered under the California Endangered Species Act. Staff is recommending a number of conditions. First, no work will be carried out at the Goleta Slough until after the sparrow's breeding season is over, which is after July the 11th. Within a week prior to the initiation of project activities, a biologist with experience identifying and observing Belding savanna sparrow will conduct at least two morning surveys of the marsh area to determine the presence of the sparrows. That biologist is to be on site during all the work there. If one or more of these birds is discovered within 300 feet of the work area, they are to stop work, contact us, and cannot begin work again unless the executive director determines that they have left that work area. We're also recommending the implementation of a restoration plan that requires removal of non-native and invasive plant species and the replanting of any pickleweed affected by project activities. The applicant is in agreement with conditions of the permit. The motion and resolution are on page 2 of the staff report, and that concludes my presentation.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any ex parte communications starting on my left? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. We have no speaker slips on this item, just for the record. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission approve Coastal Development Permit E-10-006, subject to conditions set forth in the staff recommendation, specified as a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Mercurimi, a second by Commissioner Shajian. The maker and seconder are recommending yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, commissioners?
Good job to staff, and especially in delineating the conditions. Good catch on the pickleweed.
Okay. Commissioner Shajian?
Okay.
Any objections to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit. Thank you, staff.
Good morning, Commissioners. We have three federal consistency items for you today. The first one is a consistency certification from the Goleta Sanitary District for a secondary treatment waiver for Goleta sewage discharges. Staff is recommending concurrence. This is similar to a consistency certification the Commission reviewed 5 years ago and concurred with. In this case, the city is upgrading to secondary. They're on schedule, and it's just a question of time needed to get to full secondary, which should occur before they would need any further waivers and around towards the end of 2014. For the past 5 years, in terms of monitoring of their discharges, they've been closer above secondary treatment levels for suspended solids, but about 10% below standards for secondary standards for BOD, biochemical oxygen demand. We haven't had any concerns raised by the public on this item. It's similar to an action that the commission took previously, and we're recommending concurrence. The sanitary district is here. If you have any questions or you'd like a presentation, the motion for concurrence is on page 6, and that concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you very much. Are there any ex partes on this? Seeing none, we have no speakers.
Madam Chair.
Sorry, we do have one speaker slip. Dr. Cindy Lin.
Good morning. My name is Cindy Lin. I am the regional liaison for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in Region 9, here to speak on the Goleta permit, and I wanted to provide our support. In general, we review the application for renewal of the 301H permit, and we've reviewed the application, and the application meets all the 301H criteria under the Clean Water Act. We understand currently Goleta is providing secondary 24 average discharge flow of 5 MEDs, and we believe that this will be on track to achieve full secondary treatment by 2014. We understand Goleta still requires a waiver until full secondary treatment is achieved by 2014, and as such, the permit continues to require full 301H monitoring requirements, which basically means the same spatial coverage and same frequency. Once the Commission provides their consistency determination, EPA can issue the final 301H decision document and jointly with Regional Board issue the final permit. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the only speaker slip we have. Staff, did you have anything else?
Madam Chair, with that.
No? All right. Thank you. Then we'll go to the commission. Commissioner Sharjian.
I move that the commission concur with consistency certification CC-032-09 that the project described herein is consistent with the enforceable policies of California Coastal Management Program, CCMP. Recommend a yes vote.
Right. We have a motion by Commissioner Sharjian, a second by Commissioner Mercurimi. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in concurrence in the certification and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Mercurimi? No? Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby concurs with the consistency certification made by the Goleta Sanitary District for the proposed project. Thank you, staff.
Thank you. The second item is a consistency determination from the U.S. Coast Guard. Yesterday we passed out an addendum with a number of clarifications to the report. There's no major change in what we're recommending. But it's really more language clarifications and a little bit of additional detail on a few items. We're recommending objection to this consistency determination. The Coast Guard has submitted a nationwide consistency determination to all the coastal states for its proposed two-phase discharge rule. And our concern is that the state, through state law, has adopted more stringent standards for ballast water discharges. Ballast water discharges are a huge problem, both economically and environmentally. And everybody appears to agree that the best strategy is to do what's technologically most feasible. The difference in approach between the standards that the state lands has adopted and the Coast Guard's two-phase approach is really basically state lands' position is if you set high standards, A, people will only have to retrofit their existing boats vessels one time, and then there's clarity. Everybody knows what the rules are. What the Coast Guard is doing is essentially saying, let's set some initial standards that we know everybody can meet, and then 5 years down the road, we'll ratchet up those standards and make them more stringent. Even their second phase isn't quite as stringent as what state lands has adopted, although it is fairly close. We did receive a letter yesterday from the State Lands Commission supporting the staff's recommendation. We've been in discussions with the Coast Guard, and they have not been able to get us a letter. They're not here to present, make a case about the staff recommendation. They have not responded to it. They are just moving on a much slower pace. This is a fairly lengthy process. What I get from my discussions with them and emails is that they don't have any concerns about what the state is doing. They don't have problems with the state having more stringent standards. But unlike the Environmental Protection Agency, which basically took state standards and incorporated that into their permit as it applies to California, so that there's one set of standards for California, in this case, so far, the Coast Guard has not agreed to incorporate state standards into their proposal. They're basically saying, state lands, if you want to enforce stricter standards, you're free to enforce those. But they don't. In this way, it adds some confusion because there's more than one set of standards, and it's our position that what they ought to do is the same thing that EPA did, which is to incorporate California standards into their rule, and then there's one set of rules for everybody. So we're recommending objection. The commission has three choices. The commission can concur with the consistency determination. The commission can object and inform the federal agency how a project could be made consistent, or the commission can adopt conditions. And if the federal agency doesn't agree to conditions, it's basically the same thing as an objection for all legal purposes. So our recommendation is an objection with three items that we think could allow this to be made consistent, and those three items are: A, adopt the state standards and incorporate them into your rule; B, eliminate an exemption for certain vessels that the Coast Guard has in their rule, which would allow vessels to go, say, from San Francisco to Humboldt Bay within a certain range, a certain zone, and not have to have any rules applying to their discharges. And we think that's a problem. And then thirdly, because we think that it's highly likely that their standards may change in 5 years for phase two, so that's not really fully fleshed out, and because it too isn't fully consistent with what the state lands has adopted, we're asking them to come back with a second consistency determination for their phase two discharges. So with the motions on page 13, that's the staff's recommendation, and I know that the Coast Guard isn't here. I don't know if there's any speakers.
Thank you, staff. We have no speaker slips on this item. First, let me check to see if there are any ex partes from commissioners. Okay, seeing none. Pleasure of the commission. Commissioner Stone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission concur with consistency determination CD-015-10 that the project described therein is consistent with, to the maximum extent practicable, with the enforceable policies of the California Coastal Management Program, and I recommend a no vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Stone and a second by Commissioner Sanchez. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Following this recommendation will result in an objection to the determination and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner Stone?
Just briefly, I want to thank staff for their in-depth report on this. We certainly don't want to see the inconsistent standards. California's tried to do a good job with this, and I recommend that we stay that course. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you. Just briefly, I do feel that that the Coast Guard needs to incorporate California standards. And,
all right.
Submit.
We have a motion and a second. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Do we need a roll call vote? Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby objects to the consistency determination made by the U.S. Coast Guard for the proposed project. Thank you, staff.
Thank you. The third and last federal consistency item is a restoration project by the National Park Service in Point Reyes. It's dune restoration. The project will benefit habitat. Impacts on public access during the restoration activities will be fairly minor. It's not an area where the public generally is able to go because of thick vegetation. We did think this should come before the commission just because of the extensive size of the restoration area and the fact that there's mechanized equipment, but we haven't received any concerns. We concur that the project will benefit habitat and is a good project to remove invasive species and the dunes in Point Reyes, and the motion is on page 7.
All right, thank you. We have no speaker slips on this item. Let me first check to see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners. Seeing none, Commissioner Shajan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission concur with consistency determination CD-026-10 that the project described therein is fully consistent and thus is consistent to the maximum extent practicable with the enforceable policies of California Coastal Management Program, CCMP. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shashian, second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in an agreement with the determination and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
No, thank you.
All right. Commissioner Schallenberger, no. Any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby concurs with a consistency determination by the National Park Service. Thank you, staff. And let me say that we're to the last item on the agenda, which is the Los Osos hearing. And we're going to take a 10-minute break just so the chair can talk with staff about some procedural issues. And then we'll come back and start up this item, which is the last item of the day. Thank you. Good morning, and welcome back to the Coastal Commission meeting. We could have the commissioners take their seats, and we're getting ready to start the next agenda item. And I will go to staff for the staff report.
Good morning, Madam Chair and commissioners. This is item 14A. And I'd like to make a couple observations first before handing the presentation over to Jonathan Bishop. This is a consolidated hearing of two de novo hearings on appeal, so we are presenting this as one item, but it is consolidated of those two items. Together, those two actions of the county that were originally appealed to this commission and that the commission found substantial issue over constitute the project. And also at the outset, I did want to clarify that while we only have seven or so special conditions on the project, there are 111 special conditions that the county put on the project that are also part of this project. So the project you are reviewing includes those 111 special conditions that are in one of the exhibits attached to your staff recommendation. I also wanted to apologize to the public and the commission for the rescheduling that we had to do. We encountered a snafu with the post office that we'd never encountered before, which required a change in our noticing, so that's why we're having this hearing on Friday rather than Thursday as originally anticipated. Although I might say we would have gone right into the night, perhaps, had that been the actual case. Second, or third, finally, there is an addendum in your packet, and I did want to make also a couple of minor wording changes in addition to that addendum here at the outset so that that would be incorporated as part of our staff recommendation. The first change is concerns an addendum change on page 4 of the addendum. Change number 2, I would replace the third sentence with the following sentence, which is a minor change in the language. It would say, quote, in making this finding, however, the commission notes that because the Midtown site is mitigation for the Los Osos wastewater plant, any future HCP-LCP amendment process that would allow for non-resource-dependent development at Midtown would necessarily need to account for the mitigation for the Los Osos wastewater plant CDP that accrues to Midtown and the additional mitigation required for by any HCP-LCP amendment that might allow for and then continuing on, it might allow for non-resource-dependent land use, continuing on as it says. So that would be a change to the addendum for today. A second change I wanted to make was in the lighting condition, which is on page 90, subsection G of condition 1, the final plans condition, would be to strike the phrase to the maximum extent possible so that it was clear that all lighting shall be shielded and be of the lowest intensity in order to avoid artificial light pollution. So that would be a change to make clear that standard in the plan review. And a other change in condition 5 concerning the recycled water reuse program, a clarification on page 95. This is subpart A of condition 5, to simply clarify that the reuse program, in addition to including the items already mentioned in that condition, may include other areas that may be beneficial to the basin. So that it wasn't intended to be exclusive of any other areas that might be appropriate for water reuse to the benefit of the basin. We believe that was already the intent of that condition. And finally, with respect to the habitat restoration condition, to make clear that to the extent there may be hydrological issues related to the habitat that's being restored and monitored over time, that those would be considered and dealt with appropriately. So we would make those changes in that condition.
All right.
So with those changes, I did want to briefly mention again that in January, this commission found substantial issue with the appeals that were brought to the commission. In that hearing, the commission ended up, in our interpretation, focusing on 7 key issues. And in our subsequent de novo review, we have done our best to focus on those 7 issues. And Mr. Bishop will be speaking to those and address those issues. I also wanted to point out, as some of you know from past reviews, that the commission's authority is actually limited in the review of treatment works under the Coastal Act, and this is with respect to the corresponding authorities of the Regional Water Quality and State Water Quality Control Boards in terms of dealing with these kinds of treatment works. And our review is specifically limited to certain issues related to the siting and visual appearance of treatment works, as well as the geographic limits of service areas within the coastal zone and the capacity and timing of those treatment works as it relates to management of growth in the coastal zone. So it may be that some issues that come up today are not really within the purview of the commission with respect to treatment works, and that's an important qualification to understand with respect to this project. Also, I wanted to remind you, as we mentioned last month, that the timing of the hearing in June is being driven in large part, in our view, in an effort to facilitate this project moving forward and to be able to secure substantial federal funding, maybe up to $80 million, in order to help with this project. And as you know, the affordability and cost of this project has been an important issue along the way, and so that funding is critical to this project. And finally, this is a complex project, and this hearing today is really the culmination of what to date has been over 100 public meetings at the local level to get us to this point on this project. So there's a lot of information that has been developed, a lot of public process at the local level, and we have done our best at this stage to address the critical issues identified by you in January, as well as the requirements of the LCP. And we do have the 9 special conditions on top of the 111 county conditions that we feel together bring this project into conformance with the issues addressed and required by the LCP. So with that, I'd like to ask Mr. Bishop to give the presentation.
Let me just announce before you start that if anybody has a speaker slip, we would like you to turn it in now. Once the staff finishes their report, we won't be accepting additional speaker slips. So if you're sitting with one now and you wish to comment on this item, please turn them in as soon as possible. And now we'll go back to staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Thanks. As Dr. Lester mentioned, this is the de novo review of a wastewater project in the coastal community of Los Osos. The standard review for this project is the San Luis Obispo County Certified LCP, as well as the public access and recreation provisions of Chapter 3 of the Coastal Act. Get a slide. Click there. Great. Next slide. The Los Osos Wastewater Project includes construction and operation of a community sewer system, including a treatment plant, collection and disposal facilities, reuse facilities, and all associated development and infrastructure. The proposed treatment plant is sited on approximately 30 acres, located about a half mile inland of Morro Bay on a property locally known as the Jacamazi site. The collection, disposal, and reuse infrastructure is located throughout the community, with the primary effluent disposal leach field proposed for 8 acres on a property known as the Broderson property. The project would treat wastewater to a tertiary level and would reuse as much of the treated effluent as possible for urban and agricultural irrigation, with disposal prioritized to reduce seawater intrusion and otherwise improve the health and sustainability of the underlying Los Osos groundwater basin. The project includes other complementary components, such as a water conservation program, and includes restoration and permanent protection of approximately 72 acres of sensitive coastal dune and maritime chaparral habitat at the Broderson site. Another key point is that only existing developed properties would be allowed to hook up to the new wastewater system. And this project includes a requirement that a community-wide HCP and an LCP amendment precede development on undeveloped properties to ensure that habitat is protected and that there are adequate services for any new future development consistent with the Coastal Act and LCP objectives. It also includes a requirement that the LCP be amended to identify sustainable groundwater limits and future build-out before undeveloped properties could be hooked up to. Finally, as mentioned by Dr. Lester, this is a proposed project that includes the county's 111 conditions, as well as the special conditions included in the staff report. Next slide. This is a closer look at the project setting. You can see that the community of Los Osos is located within the larger Morro Bay watershed. Morro Bay is designated state and national estuary that is well known and recognized as one of the most important biologic and wetland resources in California's coastal zone. In addition to addressing the long-standing drinking water pollution problem in Los Osos, protection of the sensitive coastal resources of Morro Bay is a primary reason why we're here today. The coastal zone in this area covers most of the Morro Bay watershed, but the project area is more defined, and we can look closer at that area in the next few slides. This is a closer look at the project area. Los Osos is an unincorporated coastal community of about 15,000 residents located at the south end of Morro Bay. This slide also shows many of the project components that are going to be discussed in more detail, including the treatment plant site. There's a web of sewer lines and pump stations within the urban area of town there. 2 leach field sites at Broderson and Bay Ridge. And some of the properties are highlighted in green there, which could be used for urban reuse of treated effluent and ag exchange. The protection of Morro Bay and groundwater resources has been a longstanding concern in this area, and efforts to implement wastewater treatment dates back quite some time, and the commission has been involved in numerous iterations in an effort to get wastewater treatment in Los Osos. Next slide. Beginning in the early 1970s, the Regional Water Quality Control Board and other health agencies began to raise environmental health and safety issues regarding the use of septic systems in Los Osos. There are currently over 4,000 septic systems concentrated in the Prohibition Zone, which overlays the groundwater drinking supply for Los Osos and is immediately adjacent to Morro Bay. In 1983, the Regional Water Quality Control Board determined that the situation was worsening and adopted a wastewater discharge prohibition for a portion of Los Osos, known as the Prohibition Zone. And in 1988, they also established a discharge moratorium that effectively halted all new construction and all major expansions of existing development until a solution to the septic tank pollution problem could be developed and implemented. In 1998, a local ballot measure formed the Los Osos Community Services District, and the Services District pursued a new permit for a conventional wastewater collection and treatment project that would have been sited in the middle of town. That site is known was known as the Tri-W or the Midtown property. In 2003, the county approved a permit for the project, and that county action was appealed to the commission. The commission took jurisdiction over the permit and ultimately approved the project with conditions in 2004. In 2005, the project construction commenced at the Tri-W site, but in the fall of 2005, construction on the project was suspended and the coastal development permit expired. And to this date, the Tri-W site remains a subject of an enforcement action, both with the commission and the county. In 2006, pursuant to Assembly Bill 2701, and that's the Blakeslee Bill, wastewater authority for the Los Osos area was returned from the services district to the county, and now the county has embarked on a long and inclusive process culminating in a project that is before you today. We'd also want to bring your attention to a letter from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. That's on page 103 of your addendum packet of materials. And in that letter, the Regional Board asserts that this project is a vital and necessary step towards water quality improvement and groundwater protection. Staff concurs, and our recommendation makes findings that this is a critical project for the protection of coastal water quality, and in this overall respect is consistent with LCP requirements to protect surface and groundwater in Los Osos. Another key point and a critical LCP concern is the sizing and capacity of the wastewater treatment project, which is rooted in the Coastal Act policy to assure that new public services are both adequate and not growth-inducing. We've evaluated the project on these terms and believe that the current project appropriately addresses the sizing and capacity issues under the LCP. And in particular, while the project is sized to accommodate a regional build-out number in the community, it also includes conditions that prohibit new connections to any undeveloped property until such a time as a comprehensive habitat and groundwater management planning is included in the LCP through an LCP amendment. In terms of the county's evaluation of alternatives, this slide shows various project components and siting alternatives that the county looked at in their review. A few key features are the Tonini site, where the plant was originally going to be located, and that was subsequently moved to the Giacomazzi site, primarily due to visual issues. In the southwest portion of that slide there is the Broderson site, where the majority of the tertiary treated effluent and disposal would occur and where the significant habitat preservation also would take place. Again, you can see the Tri-W site there in the middle of town, or the Midtown site that was discussed earlier. As summarized in the staff recommendation, an exhaustive alternatives analysis was completed by the county, including potential treatment plant sites, collection systems, and disposal options. The staff report with the addendum generally examines the alternatives the county reviewed, and in particular the county found, and we would concur that the least environmentally damaging feasible alternative was selected. We'd also point out that the collection system technologies and the location of the treatment plant on the Giacomazzi site didn't raise issue with the commission last time, and we felt that the project that was reviewed by the commission was generally satisfied at that time with the project alternatives selected and approved. Next slide. This is a slide of the Giacomazzi site that's slated for the treatment plant development. The site was historically cultivated, however, crop production ceased sometime in the past 20 years. According to the county, farming on the site is not too attractive due to the combination of soils, pests, and difficult irrigation requirements and underlying clay layers. The site is separated from Los Osos Valley Road by the Los Osos Mortuary and Memorial Park, or the cemetery property. And the project would create a 30-acre rectangular lot on which a treatment plant facility would be located, leaving the existing residence and farmhouse site as part of the larger 70-acre remainder parcel. And this would allow for the row crop operation to continue in private ownership on the 70-acre remainder. Quickly, under the LCP, if the wastewater treatment plant is an allowable use on ag lands, LCP policy 1 for agriculture requires that prime ag lands be maintained, and when allowed, that the least amount of prime soil possible be converted. Ag policy 1 and other LCP resource protection policies are further implemented by Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance section 2308-288D, which specifically addresses siting public utility facilities such as this in sensitive areas and on prime agricultural soils. The mitigation measures for unavoidable impacts to agriculture are provided as part of the project, which will require similar agricultural land at a 2-to-1 ratio, along with appropriate funds for administrative costs. That's County Condition 95. And additionally, if the county does acquire more land than necessary to site the treatment facilities, then an agricultural easement with the requirement, there will be an agricultural easement required over the remaining portions of the site. With these conditions, the project is consistent with the agriculture protection policies of the LCP. Next slide. This slide here is just to show you the Giacomazzi site. This is a slide showing the site plan for the treatment plant and its footprint on the site. And you also see its situation in relation to the on-site wetland drainages that were identified. Next slide. So that concludes sort of the general background and how we got to where we were today. And at this time, I'd like to focus more on the 7 issues that the commission raised in January at the substantial issue hearing. The first issue that was raised relates specifically to the wetlands and the drainages on the Giacomazzi site. At the substantial issue hearing, the commission was concerned about the potential for wetland impacts and some of the pump stations, as well as the way that the county wetland delineations were performed using Coastal Commission criteria. On the question of the wetland delineations, staff, including the commission's ecologist, reviewed the additional documentation provided by the county. We visited the treatment plant site and all the pump stations and verified the locations of the wetlands on ground. Based on this analysis, the county's delineations we felt were mostly correct. Staff did identify some small additional areas of wetland ESHA, both at the treatment plant sites and at individual pump stations. And to address these areas and to mitigate for potential impacts, we've included conditions to site the project in locations that completely avoid these areas, to appropriately set back from these areas, and to mitigate the impacts from such siting by requiring restoration of these areas and restoration within the setbacks to them. In this way, the project appropriately addresses wetland issues under the LCP. Next slide. I'd also like to, this slide here shows the 100-foot buffer that was established from the wetland features and the terrestrial habitat ESHA that was found on site. And the cross-hatching shows the areas of restoration and preservation of the wetland feature. I'd also like to point out that Dr. Engel's memo with further details on her findings is included in Exhibit 6 of the staff report. Next slide. The third issue raised by the commission at the substantial issue hearing relates to the proposed construction and staging area, or the Walker site. The commission asked about the status of the site with respect to ESHA and alleged unpermitted development that was already occurring there and associated that could have been associated with the wastewater project. Staff, including the commission's ecologists, visited this site as well. At that time, the site was heavily disturbed and generally devoid of natural vegetation. And as far as we could deduce, the representations by the county, that there had been some unpermitted development previously on the site, but that development was not associated with a wastewater project, and that had been removed via the county's enforcement action at the time of our site visit. With respect to ESHA concerns, the site, like most of Los Osos, appeared to consist of sandy soils that could provide habitat for the shoulder band snail. However, the commission staff ecologist did not think the site had a high habitat value and did not see any ESHA reason under the LCP to pursue a different construction staging area. It's believed that any Los Osos site that could serve the construction staging area function for the project will have similar ESHA issues for these soil, fine soil reasons, and using this site where the habitat was low value to non-existent was deemed appropriate under the LCP. Because the county hadn't proposed how the site would be addressed after construction staging, we recommended a condition of this permit to require the site be returned to its current state or better following completion of the project as mitigation for using the site as construction staging. This is an aerial photo. Wanted to highlight the Broderson and the Midtown properties here. Has to do with the next issue raised by the commission, which was in relation to the prior abandoned wastewater treatment plant project at the Tri-W site. As you may recall, the wastewater treatment plant was to be sited there, which was entirely ESHA, and mitigation for the impacts to the site was targeted restoration and protection of 80 acres at Broderson, which is also the site of the proposed leach field previously and currently. I do have a few slides to show you the Midtown and the Broderson properties. This is a photo showing the Midtown site shortly after it was graded to build the previous project. These are current photos from our site visits, and you can see that while it is still disturbed, there is some native vegetation coming back. Another photo taken from Los Osos Valley Road looking back towards the Tri-W site. These are photos that were taken of the Broderson site, and in the background is the general area where the leach fields are to be built. And here's another vantage of the Broderson site. The next series of to further protect the sensitive habitats and address unavoidable impacts of the project, Special Condition 3 requires a habitat management plan covering Broderson, the Jacamazi site, Midtown, and some of the pump station areas. The habitat management plan requires and provides the Broderson site to be acquired and granted to an appropriate agency or conservation organization approved by the executive director, and where such grant shall include funding adequate to implement a habitat management plan over time. The habitat management plan requires that each of these sites be deed restricted against development other than that associated with the approved project. The habitat management plan must be prepared by qualified restoration ecologists and submitted with evidence of Fish and Wildlife Service and Fish and Game review and approval. And it must also take into account the specific condition of each restoration enhancement site, as well as restoration enhancement goals and success criteria. With the slight change in wording to the Commission's findings read earlier into the record by Dr. Lester, we believe that both the county and the Los Osos Community Services District are in agreement with the proposal to preserve and protect in perpetuity Broderson as part of the project and to restore Midtown as direct impact mitigation for this project. The point being made in the findings that is important to both the county and the Community Services District is that the Midtown site, while protected under this permit, will not be precluded from future HCP and LCP amendment evaluation that would also be required to take place under the permit. Next slide. The next issue relates to groundwater flows and associated resource protection. There's a table in the staff report on page 63 that summarizes some of the modeling that the county did in looking at groundwater basin flows. The hydrologic modeling conducted in support of the county's project is complex, and it's based on best available information and numerous modeling assumptions. The hydrologic model of the groundwater basin has four major components and multiple flows in and out in between these components. The components are the upper and lower aquifers, the creek compartment, and the perched aquifer. Major inputs include septic effluent, precipitation, and irrigation. Major outputs include well withdrawals from the upper and lower aquifers and the creek compartment and flows out to the ocean. There are also significant cross flows between the aquifers and the creek compartments. On the Commission's question regarding the appropriate location for effluent disposal, including the manner in which these siting decisions might best help address groundwater issues and best promote health and sustainability of the underlying groundwater basin, our special condition 5 builds on County Condition 97 with an emphasis on putting water back into the basin to address seawater intrusion, and it also provides for a water conservation program and a water reuse program that includes both agricultural and urban reuse components to assure maximum beneficial reuse of the tertiary treated wastewater. As specified in Special Condition 5, this plan would require the county to ensure that the location and timing of the wastewater disposal component of the project maximizes long-term ground and surface water and related resources such as wetlands, streams, creeks, riparian corridors, as well as the health and sustainability of those resources, including with respect to offsetting seawater intrusion as much as possible within the Los Osos groundwater basin. The plan must include programs for recycled water use, water conservation, reporting, monitoring, and must include an adaptive management component. It would also require that any specific project components necessary for effective implementation of the plan, such as pipelines and leach fields, be constructed prior to project's operation. The plan specifically provides for phasing as the project comes online, but most important, the monitoring and adaptive management required by the plan would allow the county to adjust the location and timing of wastewater disposal within the basin, including to address uncertainty in the current models, new circumstances, and to the benefit of the groundwater basin and surface resources such as wetlands and riparian areas. Admittedly, there are complexities and uncertainties here. Commission staff geologist, in his capacity as a certified hydrogeologist, reviewed the county's overall modeling effort and concluded that it is a reasonable characterization of the Los Osos groundwater condition. Given the complexity and uncertainty, we have structured the condition around an aggressive monitoring and adaptive management approach. And this is also important to address one of the other issues raised by the Commission at the substantial hearing, substantial issue hearing, which was specific to groundwater flows and the protection of Willow Creek. Willow Creek is a piece of this, and concern is whether the riparian habitat will be maintained. Again, while we think that there is some uncertainty with the modeling and what may happen, we believe this is addressed by Special Condition 5, requirement for monitoring plan, including establishing baseline conditions and the need for adaptive management. More broadly, in terms of the identified need for increased implementation specificity and timing, including with respect to mitigation required due to siting the project in Esha and on ag lands, staff has identified conditions to ensure that conservation and ag reuse elements occur in a timely manner as part of the project, including requiring certain plan submittals ahead of permit issuance for executive director review and approval. In addition, the recommended conditions build in monitoring and adaptability to ensure that project components, particularly related to effluent reuse, are modified as necessary to best protect coastal resources. The last issue the commission raised in January related to septic tank decommissioning, namely the need for specificity regarding septic tank decommissioning. And although the county's proposal generally describes the way in which septic tanks would be taken out of service and includes a county commitment to assist private landowners to reuse such tanks to optimize groundwater recharge, it appears possible that the county permit did not include sufficient specificity on how this would be carried out. So accordingly, there are conditions included in this permit to ensure an appropriate tank decommissioning regime and reuse process with the objective of reusing tanks as much as possible to help with related groundwater and conservation problems. There are a number of other LCP issues that were analyzed in the staff report. Those include visual issues, archaeological issues, hazards, and access and recreation. And we believe that the findings in the staff report conclude that all of these issues are addressed and are consistent with the LCP. So in conclusion, the staff report and the conditions address the issues we believe that the commission identified at the January substantial issue hearing. In sum, we believe this provides for a wastewater project that can successfully address ongoing resource degradation in Los Osos while also improving groundwater and other coastal resource protection in a manner appropriate for a major public works project. Beyond maximizing avoidance and mitigation of resource impacts, special conditions of approval provide for adaptive management of various issues to the benefit of the project implementation and resource protection. As condition, the project is consistent with the LCP and the Coastal Act public access and recreation provisions. And that concludes the presentation.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first look to the commission for any ex parte communications, starting on my left. Commissioner Shajian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Besides our usual Board of Supervisors meeting where public comes and comments and staff does reporting now and then, on Tuesday, June 8th, I did have a meeting in the afternoon hours around 5:20 with Supervisor Gibson, Public Works staff, and County Council. The discussion was based on the new conditions as was reported by Coastal staff. Last night, I had a brief discussion with our folks, meaning the folks from the county, revisiting the addendum reported by our staff, and also briefly talked to Mr. Ohilski, who reported to me that concerns shared by the Community Service District were come to a conclusion and to an agreement with the staff as well. Again, this morning I also had a brief discussion with Supervisor Gibson related to the conditions reported by Coastal staff. That summarizes my ex parte, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. Any other ex parte? Commissioner Stone.
Thank you. I do have ex partes on file. And in addition, on June 2nd at about 4:30 p.m., I met with Supervisor Bruce Gibson. While we were both at a CSAC legislative conference in Sacramento, he said that Coastal staff pushed hard on the seven issues that the commission asked to be analyzed in during the substantial issue hearing. The county is prepared to comply with the staff's recommendations and feel that the revisions to the project strengthen it. He asked that with respect to the mitigations required on the Midtown site, that there be some flexibility allowed. Their LCP is due to be updated, and any use of the site should be reviewed in that context. He agrees that the future of the site will be subject to commission review and approval, but asks for some flexibility. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schellenberger.
Monday, June 7th, I had a telephone conversation with Penny Alia, who said that she was speaking as an individual with the Sierra Club. she said that the main concern that she had is that there be a step gravity treatment system. And the main reason for this is cost, and usually the Coastal Commission doesn't consider cost, but she did point out that there is a great deal of discussion in the staff report related to cost of the project. And then yesterday, here at the hotel, after we finished our commission meeting, I met with Bruce Gibson, county supervisor from San Luis Obispo, Payo Ogren, who is the public works director, Tim McNulty, county council's office, and Warren Jensen, San Luis Obispo County Council. They said also that there were seven issues in the substantial issue that we had raised before. Five of them were fairly simple. Two were complicated, and those were the two they were going to talk about. But they also began by saying that with the conditions in the addendum that they were in agreement with staff, they said that there was that the county is willing to restore the Tri-W site, which is 11 to 12 acres in the middle of an urban area, and it is currently disturbed habitat. The CSD was worried that somehow this would affect their bankruptcy, an issue we didn't get into, and I confess I don't understand. They said that it was clear that the county does have the authority to restore this site. And that the addendum keeps the long-term use of the property open to restoration dependent on an HCP. Mm-hmm. They then moved on to Willow Creek and said that there would be groundwater monitoring there, and that special condition 5 was an appropriate way to handle this, that they would have ongoing monitoring, that we might hear that by stopping the septic system that the wetlands would grow up, would dry up, and that they pointed out that the project itself is outside the Willow Creek site, and that the net amount of water around Willow Creek, they talked about the geology where shortly just below the surface there's a very hard clay layer, so that in fact the water doesn't go down very far into the groundwater before it runs off. It stays close to the surface. Nonetheless, they said if they were wrong, that they would change their management through adaptive management. They were very, very complimentary of the Coastal Commission staff. They said that the staff was willing to engage with them early on this project and work with them throughout it. They pointed out to me that Heal the Ocean has recently come in with a support letter, and they were very pleased about that. They brought up the gravity step process and said that, like any other system, that it will leak if it's not maintained, but almost any system, if not maintained, will eventually leak. And then the public works director got pretty excited about a lot of new technologies, none of which were before us, and he acknowledged that he was still excited about them. They said that we ended on a discussion about cost, where they said that they had brought the project cost as low as they possibly could, including some very low interest loans. Supervisor Gibson said that he worried that the civil fabric, as he put it, has been pulled apart in the community, and that he is committed to healing this as they go forward, and talking, even perhaps getting some crews together to actually dig sewer lines into houses with people who couldn't afford to do it themselves. So that was my ex parte.
All right, thank you. My ex partes are on file. I had a couple of conversations this morning regarding the procedure, but they're not subject to ex parte. Mr. Juan.
Yes, on Saturday the 6th, I had a phone call from Sarah Dolman and Andrew Christie. They said they had still had some major concerns, and those dealt with the step versus the gravity collection system, the Broderson site, and nitrate issues. They didn't believe that there was a need for the Broderson site, okay, that 5A, condition 5A, said that the reuse may include recycled water at the Broderson site, but they don't believe you have to use the Broderson site if reuse water for reuse were used elsewhere, and that then the 8 acres for the leach field would not be needed, and there would be less impact on the ESHA. that the Escher was a bigger picture. All of Los Osos is essentially Escher. They talked about the Lupine pump station. They said no indication of where it will move to, and you can't move the pump stations, and they felt that the pump stations wouldn't be necessary unless you were using gravity system, and therefore you could avoid Escher if you used the step stations. They said that the redesign hasn't really started, and that therefore they could use a step plan that had been submitted in 2006, so it could still be used. Staff was concerned about cost and effectiveness, but a competitive bidding hadn't been done, so you could have a condition to require that. Then they briefly discussed the issue about nitrates, and they said that staff was dismissing the alternative of not denitrification, and that Monterey doesn't denitrify the use and uses it on agriculture. And again, they felt that doing that would actually cut the amount of nitrate runoff. And then on 2 p.m., Keith Weimer came and met with me, and he said, this is 2 p.m. on Monday the 8th, that the staff provides for management and recycled water plan, but it doesn't have any specificity and it's not time specific, that recent basin updates were not fully analyzed in the staff report, showed me diagrams of seawater intrusion and in the basin. They said the basin's very unstable. Talked about the community's water supply needs. Then he said the model used to estimate the benefit and impacts failed to predict the rate of increase of the seawater intrusion, so the model has considerable uncertainties in it. He didn't know if the project could improve the water supply. Then he talked about the ISJ judgment. County says that they will balance the basin considering desalination of water from lower aquifer, but the county hasn't relocated wells or done conservation programs since 1992, haven't done nitrate removal from the upper aquifer as they should have. Impacts to bay, have not seen any recent studies relative to coliforms in the bay or nitrates, and they're linked to septics. Recommend that they stabilize the basin before they put in the project, and felt that they needed, because the concern about all of this and that if they didn't stabilize the basin first, then the county would focus on desal and give up on saving the basin, and he's talking about seawater intrusion, and the need to be aggressive and immediately, within 2 years, move the wells and maximum conservation, and to shoot for 900 acre foot reduction of pumping. Last night, I received two emails from Mr. Weimer. They were very long, and they had a lot of, I think, five different attachments that were, frankly, too long for me to read and analyze, so I didn't read them, but I did receive them. And then this morning, early on, I spoke quickly with Bruce Gibson, expressed to him my concerns about the cost of this on the members of the community, understanding that this was not a commission issue, but still an issue of concern. I didn't want people to lose their homes as a result of this, and he explained to me some of the programs that the county would be putting in to try to help homeowners who would face that. And then I did ask him about the question raised by Mr. Weimer about the timing of the implementation of the reuse plan.
Thank you. Commissioner Bloom.
Thank you. I met with Keith Weimer and Martha Golden on Monday, June 7th, and Commissioner Wan, just an observation, indicated that her ex parte was on Monday, June 8th. So I'm not sure whether you met Monday or
you
Tuesday.
Met first and then he met with
okay, there you go. So it was Monday, June 7th for both of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Monday, not Tuesday.
Right, right, exactly. So just observing that correction.
Sorry, thank you.
You're welcome. Monday, June 7th at 12:30 p.m., I met with Keith Weimer and Martha Golden and covered much the same matter that was described by Commissioner Juan. And I received three emails yesterday. Unfortunately, I was at a city council meeting all evening and couldn't read them before this morning's meeting. On June 8th at 10:50 a.m., I had a telephone conversation with Penny Alia, representing the Sierra Club, and Commissioner Schellenberger described the substance of my conversation.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I received an email communication from Dave Grubb, which I read evening of June 10th, and he sent this email on behalf of the Sierra Club, Santa Lucia Chapter, and Surf Rider Foundation, Santa Lucia Bay Chapter. Essentially, what it states is that the staff has made a number of improvements in the project, including requiring a basin plan and adequate wetland buffers, but there are still some issues that need to be corrected, including a pump station on Esha, the use of the Broderson site for effluent disposal, and the collection system. Sierra Club and Surf Rider believe that a step collection system would be the best approach. Step approach was removed from consideration, although it would be environmentally superior and less costly. They recommend that the following special condition be included. To assure a well-defined, cost-effective project, the highest-ranked step collection team and highest-ranked step treatment team, as identified in the request for qualifications, shall be included in the request for proposals in the design-build process.
All right. Thank you. That concludes ex partes. And then let me just talk about the time frames. We're going to hear first from the county. The county has been allocated 20 minutes total. That will include rebuttal. And the Los Osos Community Service District, we're allocating 8 minutes. Regional Water Quality Control Board, 8 minutes. Surf Rider and Sierra Club have an organized presentation. We're allocating 15 minutes for them. And then the public will have 2 minutes. And we'd ask if there are any sign-up sheets for any other speakers. Please turn those in immediately. We are closing the time to accept speaker slips as soon as the public hearing starts. So with that, we'll invite the county to start the presentation, and if you could just announce who your speakers will be, and we'll just give you a total time of 20. Another little housekeeping issue. At about 10 minutes to 12, we're going to break because they have a checkout time here at 12. We're going to take just a quick break for some of the commissioners who haven't checked out yet. And we do also have a lunch break scheduled for 12:30. All right. Welcome.
I am Pablo Ugrin, and the Public Works Director for the County of San Luis Obispo. I think I'll probably take about 10 minutes and then, you know, wish to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. And I will make sure during my comments to introduce the other county staff members. But Commissioner Schellenberger certainly is correct. I do get excited about technologies from time to time. I can't spend too much time, but I had the good fortune when I was a kid in junior high and high school living in Washington, D.C. when my dad served under one of our prior presidents on what was called a blueprint for project independence, which at that point in time was to try to identify how we might reduce our reliance on foreign oil. Certainly that continues to be a challenge, and although he's retired, I like to joke to him that I do believe that we will complete the Los Osos wastewater project before the nation is free from relying on foreign oil. So I had the benefit of homeschooling on technologies, numerous patents that he had developed. But today, on the Los Osos Wastewater Project, it is my hope that in the very near future, I will be leading a staff presentation to the Board of Supervisors with a coastal development permit in hand and a recommendation to proceed with the implementation of a wastewater project for the community of Los Osos, a discretionary decision of the Board due to unique provisions of Assembly Bill 2701. 8 days from today will mark the four-year anniversary of the Board's adoption of a legislative platform to support the Assemblyman and his special legislative efforts and the development of Assembly Bill 2701 so that the county could try, along with others, to help resolve the problems of a community special district which, despite the best of intentions, had found itself in a precarious situation. I have been truly amazed at the level of support in turn that the county has received, and at this time I would especially like to express my appreciation for your staff. Up to including your executive director, your staff has engaged with us early and often. They provided us critical input during the hearings of our Planning Commission and reviewing the standards of our LCP. And as a Public Works Department, they have helped us understand many things that we needed to understand. It is clear that we all believe in the protection and enhancement of coastal resources. The level of detail has been astonishing to me. And if there is one impression that I can leave with your commission, it is that the protection and enhancement of coastal resources is an extremely important part of the job that we do in San Luis Obispo County Public Works. I would love to discuss many of the other efforts that we are taking on coastal resources, but I don't want to digress. As a Public Works Department, our job is not just to build things. Our job is to help build and to help rebuild better communities. Sustainability, coastal resources, endangered species, financing, engineering, water resource management, flood control protection, habitat conservation, civic and public engagement, low-impact development, affordability. All of these are our responsibilities, and all of them we take seriously. Just as the California Coastal Act and our LCP establish high standards for coastal resources, I have high standards of our project team. With me today, Mark Hutchinson, who is our Environmental Division Manager and spoke in January, wasn't able to make it today because his first child is graduating from high school today. Kate Ballantyne, one of our environmental resource specialists and an archaeologist, is here today. Next to her is John Waddell, who is our project engineer. And next to John is John Diodati, who has led our outreach to state and federal agencies for funding and to help with the affordability. In the row behind them is Marie Wilson, who's with our County Planning and Building Department and has been, you know, especially helpful during our Planning Commission hearings on the LCP. And then Warren Jensen, who is County Council, and across the road from him is Tim McNulty, Deputy County Council. And, of course, also Supervisor Gibson, or sometimes we refer to him as Dr. Gibson, because it is a good fortune that we have that our supervisor is both passionate about coastal resources as well as a PhD with technical expertise that has helped us tremendously. At this point in time, I think I have a PowerPoint. All on my PowerPoint, I'd like to do is I'm just going to limit it to the seven issues that were identified in January. Jonathan did a really good job at running through the different components of the project. Pardon me? Yeah, it's the first one. It's the small one. It's just it's titled something like seven issues. And then I'm going to run through these pretty quickly and then just make some, you know, quick closing comments. I guess even as that's coming up, you know, the idea is that we do support the staff recommendations. I've prioritized the seven issues in terms of things that, taking the items later, that there was some later and continuing dialogue on it. Thank you. So these aren't the order that they were identified, but instead took in the ones that we had the continuing dialogue and leaving those for last. On the wetlands delineations, as Jonathan had mentioned, we do agree that there were some minor adjustments that were made. They are appropriate, and we can make sure and have already identified slight adjustments to the project itself in order to address some of the additional wetlands that were identified by your staff. Under the conservation and reuse plans, the recycled water management plan does help combine a number of the conditions that we already have. It improves the timing to ensure the implementation. And on the annual monitoring, reporting, and adaptability for resource protection, I think what we really are going to see that throughout the number of issues, it's the adaptive management approach that is appropriate here. Some of my early work many years ago was in response to Assemblyville 939 in terms of solid waste and recycling. That has always been an adaptive management. Our department is responsible for stormwater, NPDES work. That's adaptive management. recent discussions I've been participating on climate change also addresses the need for adaptive management. So to the degree that special condition number 5 on the conservation and reuse plans and other issues that we've identified really rest on the issue of adaptive management, we really support what your staff has laid out. With respect to groundwater flows, as Jonathan mentioned, your staff hydrogeologist did affirm that the groundwater models are reasonable and conservative. And, you know, there is always an inherent amount of uncertainty in any type of groundwater monitoring or groundwater analysis. And consequently, again, the adaptive management approach as we proceed is extremely important. The septic tank decommissioning, this one I like for a different reason, and that is that when we got started on the wastewater project, you know, some 4 years ago and picking it up, the idea of being able to use the septic tanks for stormwater management, LID approaches, maybe even gray water in some situations, was something that we had an early discussion with and had early support from the regional board on. And the reason why I like this is that this is one of the examples where our efforts on partnering with non-governmental organization, I think that maybe in the weeks past, either your staff or you had correspondence from Slow Green Build, wanting to, you know, work on these issues together. And certainly in undertaking a project of the nature of Los Osos, our partnering efforts are going to be very important, and I look forward to working with some of our non-governmental organizations on this particular component and others. The construction staging area, Jonathan saw a good picture. There had been some discussions that maybe we had already gotten started on work, and even though we are eager to go and move, we had in fact not got started on anything yet, you know, physically. And nevertheless, addendum to special condition number 1, addressing construction staging, is also some follow-up discussion that they recently addressed through the addendum, and we support that modified language. Willow Creek itself, that was one, this is one where it's one of the hotter topics, and especially one where establishing baseline, establishing monitoring, taking adaptive management approaches, because the overall soil depth to the bedrock or to the clay layer is relatively shallow, so we think it's more likely that the flows are going to be reduced, but the actual levels of the water and the support of the habitat will still be there. Again, uncertainties in any sort of groundwater modeling, and so the appropriate conditions, again, subject to, you know, your executive director's approval as well, is adaptive management. And then on the Midtown mitigation, the only reason I address this footnote is it just simply shows that there's a range of mitigation ratios. I think your staff report appropriately identified a number of issues associated with Midtown, you know, including the fact that there is a coastal development permit violation associated with the prior CDP that had been issued and had been expired, that this is a unique situation, and it's not just a matter of looking at the mitigation ratios. Even though that is important, the point that I brought up is that there has been a range of opinions that have been expressed on this particular item, and we do believe that the special conditions in the addendum and the additional ones that Dr. Lester had laid out are appropriate. And with respect to that, we don't own this property, and there is this sort of relationship to the bankruptcy. Our county council had provided correspondence to your legal counsel to affirm that, in fact, you know, we can do the restoration and we can comply with the conditions as outlined by your staff. So in closing, I am also compelled to recognize that conflict is inherent in this process, and I understand that. Collectively, there has been a lot of passion that has been expressed, and I expect that there will probably be more passion expressed today. But I do believe that our combined efforts, you know, the efforts of your staff, the other resource agency staffs, the nonprofits and the non-governmental organizations, the individuals from the community and other professionals who have weighed in, have all been productive in helping make this a very, very, very good project. We may not find that we are all in agreement on all issues, but I do believe that everyone's participation has been beneficial in arriving at and Heal the Ocean, in their most recent letter of support from June 6, identified a portion of the staff report. And that is, as conditioned, there is no feasible, less environmentally damaging wastewater treatment project. designed to maximize the productive use of the effluent and Los Osos Basin, help improve groundwater health and sustainability. Essential to protect groundwater and surface waters in and near Los Osos, including the Morro Bay National Estuary, related habitats and resources, and to provide essential public services to the Los Osos area. And with that, I thank you, and I just wish to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you. So it looks like you have 8 minutes and 45 seconds left. We'll reserve that for rebuttal then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to welcome the Los Osos Community Services District. Marshall Ohilski, and we've set aside 8 minutes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Marshall Ohilski, president of Los Osos CSD. As most of you know, I've been before you before because I represent projects. In fact, I've been in this very room before last year. What I'd like to do is just, we sent a letter on June 3rd that my board approved, and I'd just like to go over some of the points in there. Hopefully I won't use the entire 8 minutes so we can move
this
thing
along.
But our CSD, and I just want to clarify the scope of our services, because the letter that we wrote is only applies to the services that our district provides. We didn't take a position on services or parts of this project that were outside of our scope of services. So we provide, we're a water purveyor, we provide emergency services, we provide solid waste drainage. We do have a couple septic areas that we manage, lighting, and we are identified in AB 2701 as the potential long-term operator of this project. As it says in my letter, the project, the district is supportive of a project. Our concern has been the seawater intrusion and the long-term sustainability of our water supply. And I think that's real clear from the latest reports that come out that the seawater intrusion is a major problem in our area. We do believe that this project, as it's presently conditioned, is a first step towards helping us address our seawater intrusion issue. I would also like to point out that, as in we've mentioned in our letter, that affordability is a concern. And one of the concerns that was expressed by my board was that the commission and the special conditions that were added do not increase the cost of the project. And we do not believe that that's occurred in any of the special conditions that are proposed by staff. So we think those address our concern. Obviously, the major part of affordability is the cost of the construction of the project itself. And really, that's something that the county will have to deal with during their design build or how they decide to address the construction and the cost of the project. So we are also, the district is working with Community Foundation right now trying to increase the availability of funds for low-income people to help them mitigate any concerns, because clearly nobody wants to see anybody lose their house over this project. So we're working with them right now. My district is concerned about, again, the sustainability. We have been working hard over the last year to reduce water consumption from our customers. In fact, in the last year, we reduced water consumption by over 9% from our water customers. And we are pursuing an aggressive conservation program ourselves right now. We're looking at education programs. We just adopted a tier water rate structure that will help to reduce the water amount of water used. It's conservation-based. I think that's very important. We're also pursuing a public information program right now. We're looking at incentive programs, and we're looking at a residential and commercial audit program. So I think we're working hard as a purveyor to try to bring the sustainability and the seawater intrusion reduced to a level that hopefully will help us balance the basin. Regarding the other points in my letter, I think that Special Condition 5 in combination with the county's Condition 97 really goes a long way towards addressing our reuse priorities and our sustainability concerns. So we're supportive of that. And I appreciate county staff and the addendum revising paragraph 2 on page 64, which includes the purveyors in the management plan. And that was a major concern of ours, that as the purveyor that we would be involved in that. So we appreciate and agree with that conclusion. The drainage condition, special condition 1, with the LID techniques and water quality protection to the maximum extent possible, that's very, very important to us also. So we're fully supportive of that. The septic tank decommissioning is something that we think that as it's laid out in the revised conditions from Coastal staff is very, very well done. Our district has been pursuing and looking really, really strongly at gray water reuse programs, and we see this as an adjunct to that, so we'd like to see and support that condition too. The habitat management plan was really our biggest concern, and I think as been already mentioned, the addendum, we have a concern about bankruptcy. We're in bankruptcy right now, so, and I don't want to go into the details of bankruptcy because it's a complicated issue and I would have to take the rest of the day. But we did have a concern about that and we expressed it to staff, and staff came out and addressed our concerns in the addendum. We still had some concerns about the way the mitigation was worded in there and the potential effect on our bankruptcy, because quite frankly, we don't know what the effect would be at this point. And then meeting with Dr. Lester yesterday and meeting with county staff, we came up with revised language there, which I think everybody agrees meets the intent of where we wanted to go, but we believe it helps us longer, or pardon me, helps us better to keep our bankruptcy protection in place and allow us to come up with a reorganization plan. So I really appreciate both Dr. Lester and county staff working with us to revise that condition so we can keep our bankruptcy protection, because it is critical for us as a water purveyor and as a CSD to keep our protection. So we're fully supportive of that revised language that Dr. Lester read today. I think that, you know, in conclusion, that we believe that a wastewater project is critical to help the community in the long term. We really believe that a wastewater project is critical to help us address our concerns about seawater intrusion. Okay. These are the issues that my board took positions on, and again, those are the issues that were relevant to our scope of services. So there may be other issues out there, but as far as my board's concerned, in addressing our scope of services, our scope of operation, and the issues before us, we think that the project is now configured, addresses those concerns. And that's my conclusion.
All right, thank you. Next speaker is Harvey Packard from the Central Coast Regional Water Quality. And we've allocated 8 minutes, and use whatever portion of that you need.
Thank you. My name is Harvey Packard. I'm representing the Central Coast Water Quality Control Board today, and I just have a few comments and probably won't take the whole 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm here today in support of the project and staff's recommendation. Appreciate staff's work on this, and we agree with the findings in the staff report and the addendum, and appreciate all the work that's gone into those. As you know, the Water Board has been pushing a water quality resolution and fix for Los Osos for a long, long time, many, many years. The Water Board doesn't define the project or define what the project looks like, but we do administer the standards that the project will have to meet, water quality standards. That being said, we are interested in seeing projects that take into account overall watershed health and sustainability. We think that this project does do that, and this project will meet our requirements and water quality standards. We believe that the project has undergone plenty and enough analysis, study, alternatives analyses, and it's time to get moving, get things working on the ground, and a resolution to the water quality problems in Los Osos. Approving this now today will start that water quality improvement and will also keep the funding options open for the county. We support staff's recommendation and urge your approval today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next presenters are from Surf Rider and Sierra Club. They have an organized presentation for a total of 15 minutes, and we'll let you announce the order and
My name is Sarah Dameron. I will be going first, probably about 4 minutes or so, and Andrew Christie will be following. I don't believe we'll need the full 15 minutes.
So all right. Thank you very much.
Help. Sorry, I'm just trying to position this thing. It's very awkward. Good morning. My name is Sarah Dameron. I'm with Surf Rider Foundation, speaking on behalf of the San Luis Bay chapter of Surf Rider Foundation, whose members live in San Luis Obispo County, including the town of Los Osos. The chapter has been involved and engaged in this effort since the county has picked it up and has been engaged working to ensure that this project that is adopted is environmentally superior and that it sustainably manages closest is natural resources, including, of course, you know, with the end result of improving water quality. I think that is the goal of everybody here. Obviously, this is a contentious project. I don't think that's any secret. And conflicting opinions exist as to what is the best project to achieve those goals. So I plan to speak to that a little bit today. Constant vigilance and willingness to look at the short and long-term effects of the project has been really important. And fortunately, that has actually facilitated continued improvements to the project over the permitting process from the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors and now here. We'd like to thank the Commission for finding substantial issue and for allowing staff to take a further look at some of these issues that you had. And we're really glad that issues like wetlands delineation and hydrologic balance were looked at and is now hopefully resulting in additional improvements as suggested by staff, like the basin plan, and at least attempting to avoid ESHA and wetland destruction. However, there still are additional issues remaining. The good news is that they can be addressed by the Commission. These issues include pump stations being located on ESHA, like the Midtown site. I plan to speak about that. Need and reliance on the Broderson site for effluent disposal. And just overall project viability, a little bit about cost. In regards to ESHA protection, it's clear that staff has been looking for the least environmentally damaging alternatives, but really just within the scope and context of the proposed project, whereas the LCP actually requires that not such a narrow scope is taken, but that the least damaging alternative overall is applied, which may require looking at additional alternatives of this proposed project. In this case, STEP actually avoids ESHA disturbance caused by pump stations, which would avoid destruction of ESHA on the Midtown site, that 9 acres, because STEP doesn't use pump stations at all. So there wouldn't be an issue of destruction of ESHA on that site or trying to avoid wetlands on other sites altogether. It would be avoided. Additionally, because STEP employs fully sealed collection pipes, the volume of inflow and infiltration is significantly diminished, which also reduces the volume of effluent, of course, that would need to be disposed of. So that, of course, could reduce and potentially eliminate the need for the Broderson site. I believe that Dana Ripley might speak to that later in his testimony. Lastly, because STEP is estimated to reduce project costs to the tune of 20%, we believe keeping this option in play is important to ensure overall project viability. I think it would be a travesty to have made it this far and made all of these improvements, but to end up with a project that the community couldn't afford and completely not have a project altogether and not achieving any of the goals that we've sought to achieve through this long, arduous process. I think it's important to note that, you know, obviously we definitely want to pursue the grant money, but that's not guaranteed. Maximum bids could be guaranteed. So that's certainly a way to control costs of this project. So in conclusion, I'd like to state that, you know, Surf Rider, the San Luis Bay chapter, maintains that STEP is the preferred collection system as it was found to be in the 2001 EIR. And we feel it's in the community and really the environment's best interest to keep this alternative collection system in play as we move into design bid. And with that, I'd like to hand it off to Mr. Christie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm Director of the Santa Lucia Chapter of the Sierra Club, representing the Sierra Club's membership in San Luis Obispo County. There have indeed been great improvements made to this project. You and we are responsible for those improvements. But for the insistence of the public and the advocacy of our organizations and the work of the Coastal Commission, this project would be proposing the disposal of secondary treated effluent on 600 acres of prime ag land outside the groundwater basin. There would be no agri-use and recycling component. There would be no requirement for a basin management plan. The conservation program would be less than half of what it is now. Seawater intrusion would be something to be dealt with sometime later, and there would be no LID required in the course of street excavation. That was the proposed project. We urged all of those changes be made. The applicant maintained variously that they were impossible or irrelevant or would endanger funding or delay the project or cause it to fail. They insisted on this as firmly as they insisted to you in January that this project raised no substantial issue, as firmly as the language in the late arriving amendments to the staff report denies the viability of step collection technology. We have refuted those particular familiar assertions when made by the county many times. Our comments of June 4th refute them again. Orenco Systems' latest comments in direct response to the amended staff report refute them at length and in detail. The staff report makes clear staff's concerns over the cost of the system and its belief that the commission should act to help keep costs down, up to and including the fact that we are here in Marina Del Rey in June and not in San Luis Obispo in August, in order to give the county the best possible chance at qualifying for federal funds. We agree that the commission should implement any and every measure available to ensure affordability, as an unaffordable project will be yet another failed project. The staff report says there is no feasible less environmentally damaging wastewater treatment project. The Coastal Act definition of feasible means capable of being accomplished in a successful manner within a reasonable period of time, taking into account economic, environmental, social, and technological factors. Section 30120 of the Coastal Act states that treatment works shall have the same meaning as that set forth in the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, in which treatment works is defined as follows. Any devices and systems used in the storage, treatment, recycling, and reclamation of municipal sewage or industrial wastes of a liquid nature to implement Section 1281 of this title, or necessary to recycle or reuse water at the most economical cost over the estimated life of the works, etc. That is to say, the Coastal Act defines treatment works, defines this project as that which performs the function of storage, treatment, recycling, and reclamation of municipal sewage at the most economical cost. How is this requirement to be met in order to conform with the Coastal Act definition? Competitive bidding comes to mind. One might think that the applicant would see to that. One might think the applicant, in their own interest, would need no prompting to provide for a comparison of costs by soliciting bids on project designs that use the primary competing technologies for the single most expensive component of this project. That would be the collection system. But this has not happened, and it is not scheduled to happen. Therefore, it would behoove the Commission, per the language of the proposed special condition we sent you on June 7th, to simply require, in order to assure a well-defined project and control of costs, that the highest-ranked step collection team and the highest-ranked step treatment team, as identified in the request for qualifications, shall be included in the request for proposals as part of the design-build process, with guaranteed maximum bids. This would cause no delay in the project's overall agency permitting process. The EIR found step and gravity collection to be equally capable of doing the job. The county has accepted that a step system would be at least 20% less expensive than gravity. A direct comparison to determine exactly which system would be more cost effective and by how much has not been done and will not be done unless the commission requires it. If this project is to meet the Coastal Act definition of treatment works, that needs to happen as a condition of this permit. We are not proposing a condition that requires the county to jettison one collection system in favor of another one by order of the Coastal Commission. This is a condition requiring the county to take the necessary step to assure the construction of a treatment works at the most economical cost. I have extra copies of the proposed condition to spare you rummaging through your packets. I return them in staff, I presume.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think what we'll do now is break so that commissioners can check out of the hotel and come back in 10 minutes and start with the public comment and public testimony. And just ask that please no one approach commissioners to ask questions or to lobby because we are in the middle of a public hearing. And we'll be back in 10 minutes. All right, we're going to start the hearing and would invite everyone to please take your seats. And we're going to announce the first speakers. And if I could have the commissioners back, that would be great. Could we get staff to check outside, or maybe Commissioner Sharjan, would you see if there's any commissioners outside so they can be here for the start of the hearing? Thank you. Okay. All right. And this is now we're going to take up comments from the general public. And the first speakers are Keith, I think it's Weimer, Piper Riley, Tom Murray, Elaine Watson, and we're allocating 2 minutes each. Please state your name for the record. If any of those four that I've called are here, Keith Weimer, Piper Riley, Tom Murray, Elaine Watson.
Madam Chair, could we have Elaine Watson go before Keith Weimer?
Absolutely, yeah, whatever order you want to come in. I'm just announcing the names, so you can come down. Just state your name for the record before you start your presentation.
Good morning, Elaine Watson of Sosos. One principle of good planning and sustainability is that you don't use a big project when a small project will do the job. The Los Osos Sustainability Group supports a phased, decentralized system because a big project in an already unstable basin is very risky, to say the least. I'll be addressing impacts, benefits, and uncertainties of the project. Adverse impacts to the ESHA. Thank you. Adverse impacts to the ESHA. It destroys 8 acres at Borderson. It reduces flows to Los Osos Valley Creek and the estuary. It dries Willow Creek, Bayside wetlands, marshes, and springs. Impacts to the infrastructure and ground disturbance. It's going to require 44 miles of trenching on public streets. The trenches will be about 4 feet wide, 6 to 18 feet deep. And as I understand it, about 37% of those pipes will be at about 9 feet below surface or more. Disruption and inconvenience. During construction, there will be over 3 million miles of truck trips. Air quality will also be impacted adversely. 5.5 million tons of greenhouse gases. And there will be excavation of 100, I'm sorry, greenhouse gases of 144,000 tons per year just in O&M. Economic cost impacts will exceed the 200 to 1,000% affordability level established by the EPA and USDA guidelines. The benefits is that this project will improve water quality by 2 milligrams of nitrates per liter over 30 years. The uncertainties are, is Borderson going to perform as it's predicted? We don't know that yet. What are the effects on the estuary going to be? Thank you.
Thank you. Is Keith Weimer here? Piper Riley or Tom Murray?
Uh,
My name is Keith Weimer. Thank you, Madam Chair, and honorable commissioners. I'm going to talk about seawater intrusion at last. It is a critical problem. If you saw the update, it is absolutely out of control in the basin. It's going 12 times faster than it was predicted, and this is 12 times faster than it was predicted by the model that was used for determining the benefits of the project. So we have a major problem there. One reason is that there's a very low area in town, and that acceleration is happening. It's already hit the first well, and it looks as though it's heading for the second well. So we have a critically unstable basin. Just in 4 years, it contaminated 2.5 billion gallons, 15,000 acre feet. The need for immediate action, and we have some experts that we've included in the packet there, and they all say that there needs to be aggressive action. So, and these are the reasons why. It will shut down supply wells, and it will, as water use and pumping shifts to the upper aquifer, it's going to overuse that aquifer, and then there's no reason at all for the project. One point here. The water right now could be too salty for recycling. So right now, you may not have a recycle program. We have a very poor history of action with regard to this issue. Level 2 resource deficiency in 1992, and they're still looking at the same kinds of solutions here in the basin update. There's just no action. There's no commitment to this problem. The coastal plan says that you can't go over the safe yield, and you have to protect your groundwater basins. Well, for 18 years, they haven't been doing it. The applicant hasn't been taking an active role in doing that. Anyway, the Los Angeles Sustainability Group has a plan that can solve that, but in 2 minutes, it's awfully hard to get it out. And it's in the packet, and it would address all of these issues.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. Extraordinary steps have been taken by the county officials to quash scientific dissent and silence the public's voice. The county has created a literal filibuster. Fair competition to find the best solution, as promised in the 2018 assessment, did not occur. The county ignored Water Board written instructions to make expeditious decisions based on existing information and instead used old data and incorrect information to push through the Montgomery-Watson-Harza plans of 2005. Montgomery-Watson-Harza is currently under investigation in 3 states for bid rigging and accounting irregularities. The proposal builds on ESHA and uses large pump stations, which are numerous and can easily fail, spill, and are subject to infiltration, which could affect the quantity and quality of effluent going into the treatment facility and may not allow us to produce an end product suitable for ag reuse. Our only real hope against seawater intrusion, the real pollutant in our overdrafted basin. Average nitrogen levels in the well tests are just over drinking water standards, and the Back Bay waters are within safe limits, and oysters are being farmed. Roterson, the primary disposal site, is an ecological reserve located above 600 homes. In close proximity to 2 fault lines and with a large aquitard below, the county admits percolation is questionable and the residential neighborhood could become a liquefaction zone threatening lives and property. This location is rated high for liquefaction. Due to the conservation, it is anticipated that the collection system will require flushing, and the central sewage collection station in the heart of our town will require hazardous chemicals to mask the stench of the black sewer. Sludge is abundant in this conventional system with no long-term solution for disposal. The cost is double that of alternatives, and the project is so impactive, it is like killing the person in order to save the patient. Because the project violates multiple LCPs, it should be more heavily conditioned to ensure its viability and to reopen the design-build process to include the already purchased step plans, which were not compared to the existing gravity plans. The county admits that their expensive proposal may not change nitrates for 30 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
Tom Murray. I'm representing Slo Greenville. You have in your packet two letters that we sent out some time ago. One of them was to provide a basic framework for a water conservation plan, and the other one was a follow-up letter to sort of clarify some of the issues, recognize some of the limitations that the county faces, and offer some ways forward in terms of how the larger community can work collectively to do that. Through longstanding board policy, we don't take positions on specific projects, but we can speak to one of the areas of concern, which is the water conservation and reuse issue. The county, we believe, has a long track record in working with NGOs in order to achieve these kinds of goals. They've worked with Slo Greenville, and we've had an excellent relationship in working with the county over time. We've worked on things like AB 811 to share maximum return from that. With the county's assistance, we've recently published a gray water manual, which we think would be very applicable to the issues in front of you today. We are currently nearing conclusion of another manual concerning low-impact development. We think these are very accessible to the average homeowner, and they can be utilized in the septic tank reuse program that you're going to do. And basically, we think that the county has proven through past, current, and future commitments to be a reliable partner in these kinds of issues and can be counted on to very aggressively pursue water conservation and basin management. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speakers are, let's see, Dana Ripley and Lindy Owen, and Gwen Taylor are ceding their time to Dana. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, commissioners, honorable commissioners. My name is Dana Ripley. I'm team leader for the Los Osos Wastewater Plan Update prepared in 2006 for the Los Osos Community Service District. Our final report was completed in August of 06 and was validated by the National Water Research Institute in December of 06. Septic tank effluent pump or step collection is fundamental to the update plan and, in my opinion, is fundamental to the long-term success of the Los Osos Wastewater Project. The process schematic of the 06 update plan is similar to the process schematic I prepared for inclusion in the recently published water reuse textbook by McGraw-Hill 2007. As figure 1315, you have a copy of it in your packet. The caption of that figure reads, schematic flow diagram of a comprehensive water reclamation and reuse plan incorporating step systems for low, medium, and high density communities. A copy of this schematic is provided. It represents what I believe to be state-of-the-art in small community wastewater collection, treatment, and reuse, whether constructed for a new development or for an existing community upgrading. My testimony to the commission today will focus on cost and affordability. Coastal staff recognizes the importance of affordability to the Los Osos residents. The single largest factor influencing affordability is obviously the project's construction cost. The estimated construction cost of the 06 update plan is presented as Attachment B. For comparison, the gravity plan prepared by the county is provided as Attachment C. Based on my review of the two construction cost budgets, the cost difference between the two systems is at least $50 million. That is to say, the 06 update plan cost utilizing step collection technology is at least $50 million less than the gravity plan. The actual cost difference between the two system alternatives could, in fact, be substantially greater than $50 million. For step construction, there is relatively low construction cost risk since the excavations are shallow and impacts to unforeseen conditions can be mitigated easily. For this reason, the step contractor has offered a guaranteed maximum price cost basis to San Luis Obispo County. For gravity construction, however, construction cost risk is significantly higher due to deeper excavations and difficulty of dealing with unforeseen conditions, such as high groundwater and archaeologic sites. The contractor will be required to fuse weld at least 12% of the collection system and more if high groundwater is encountered beyond that already mapped. Slo County would be compelled to accept change orders for these unforeseen conditions, which in essence provides for an open-ended contract irrespective of what the winning competitive bid cost number is. Of course, The extent of change order costs cannot be known until the project construction is complete. Even with a $50 million cost difference, the Commission is faced with at least two issues inconsistent with the Coastal Act if the applicant's gravity collection plan is constructed. First, Section 30604G states that affordable housing for low and moderate income persons shall be protected in the coastal zone. This $50 million difference impacts affordability. Secondly, Section 3120 defines treatment works as those used to treat and recycle municipal waste, as indicated by the Sierra Club, at the most economical cost. I am aware of the applicant's technology preference against step collection for reasons such as greenhouse gas emissions, soil disturbance numbers, nitrogen removal, on-lot easements, and on-lot pumping. I believe that each of these issues can be resolved in favor of step collection given the opportunity in an open forum. It also must be reiterated the step collection alternative was CEQA certified as environmentally superior in 2001, was determined to be a viable collection alternative in the current project EIR, and was intended to compete with gravity collection through the bidding process pursuant to the Proposition 218 vote assessment in 2007. Only with elevation of the step team into the competitive bidding process with guaranteed maximum bids can the $50 million cost differential presented above be ascertained one way or the other. The Commission should seek the assurance that the competitive bid process promised by the Proposition 218 vote will be preserved and the coastal and consistency with Coastal Act Sections 3120 and 3604 is upheld. Including this requirement as a permit condition today will not only assure Proposition 218 and Coastal Act consistency, but will assure that the project timelines remain in place to, quote, maximize the project's eligibility to receive funding and support that can offset local costs, end quote, as urged by SLO County and your staff. Thank you for your consideration on these cost and affordability issues, and I'm available for questions.
All right, thank you, sir. Elaine Watson, Camille Azuri, Al Barrow, and Julie Tacker, the next speakers. Just come up in whatever order and state your name.
I've already spoken. Do I get to finish my first?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Sorry about that. And your name was? Elaine? Okay. Sorry, Elaine. Camille Azuri, Al Barrow, Julie Tacker, Steve Owen. Yes, please. Uh-huh. Come on up.
Good morning. I hope you're all well. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. I have 15,000 hours, and I stopped counting on this project. I've been working on it for 12 years. I am informed. I know most of the experts from both sides of the issues. So today I would just like to make a quick statement here because you've only given me 2 minutes to take. When an affordable option for technology is available to address environmental impacts, the coastal resources that are impacted, you're required to consider the more protective and affordable, which you have not done because the county has not presented it to you because they took the affordable system step stag off of the table. Over time, the gravity bell and housing pipes will leak up to 50% of the sewage into the wetlands and the drinking water aquifer. They degrade. The Baywood sand on perch clay lenses will liquefy in an earthquake, which we have a 6.8 to a 7.3 fault, which is four times the magnitude of either the Loma Prieta or the Northridge quakes. It took 12 years to repair the gravity collection in the Northridge quake. $1 billion. The project is unaffordable to the citizens of Los Osos. By and large, it will displace thousands and make rental properties no longer competitive to surrounding housing stocks. 250 or more a month for the sewer plus water bills are doubling now, 100 to 200 a month. Water rates, the more protective technology, step stag, which is a sealed system, protects our drinking water aquifer and our Esha around the bay with the wetlands. My property management says this will render his properties non-competitive. The slopes required for a gravity sewer to move raw sewage are so shallow now, they were designed for 80 gallons. With conservation, they're down to 50 gallons. So the mitigations for the environmental soft fixes for the earthquake damage are not appropriate.
All right. Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
I knew that
he's
was going
to happen. He's welcome to be at the podium with you, if that's not too much.
He might take some precious time. Okay. I am Julie Tacker. I have provided you a yellow piece of paper so that you wouldn't lose it among the over 12,000 pages of the record for this project. I want to thank you for finding substantial issue with the project. Substantial issue is not what has led to substantial clarification. I don't believe that's what you asked for in January. That's not what I heard, and I believe that is all that the county has done, is clarified their position, digging their heels in. Their approach to this project is that we were right all along, and not even the Coastal Commission can make this project better. On my handout, I give you a bullet of de novo in the definition, and it is to mean all new. If you were listening to the all-new project, the project is a peeling onion. Layer upon layer upon layer can be found in the complexities of the project, and I wish you had the time that the citizens that are here today, come so far to testify for so little time, have found with the project. You, our hopes were pinned on you in that you could refine the project and make it better for our environment and certainly more affordable for our community. And that's why I have a bullet that says a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift, a change from one way of thinking to another, a revolution, a transformation, a sort of metamorphosis. We need to stop thinking about this project and it's being a wastewater project. This is a water project. Your staff admits that they didn't have time to go through the record. And at the end of the staff report, it cites CEQA and saying that you have feasible alternatives available that weren't considered. I'm out of time. Thank you for your time. And
thank you.
I'm available for questions if you'd have them.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. Stephen Owen, Jeff Edwards, Camille Azuri, and Barry Brannon. Just state your name for the record, sir.
Yes, Stephen Owen, Vice President of PERC Water. I am here, Madam Chair and Coastal Commission members. I, too, am very excited about technology. In fact, I am passionate about technology, and here have several slides, and in interest of time, we'll move through them. The slide before you, I don't want to startle anyone. I'm not suggesting we're going back to the Tri-W site in Midtown, but that is the pump station that if gravity sewer is elected, that's how big the pump station will be on that site. That next slide shows one of our facilities, our technologies, our paradigm shift that was so appropriately stated by the last speaker, Julie. That is our entire footprint. That includes everything from odor control or headwork screening, grit removal, secondary and tertiary treatment, and sludge process. Why am I here telling you about technology? Well, I'm here telling you about technology because the county at this point has deemed that our firm is not qualified to provide a solution for Los Osos, and originally we were not shortlisted. We've been waiting for over 10 months now to hear back from the county. They've told us, well, it's due in part because we're in the Coastal Commission hearings. But I want to show you about technology. This is technology that this is Palm Valley in Arizona. You can see a good neighbor facility, aesthetically pleasing, no odors. Here's another appealing, aesthetically pleasing. That top facility right there is the exact same size that the city that Los Osos would need. That's a BioLac system compared to our systems.
You can see small footprint time and time again in getting rid of the old and looking at the new and the paradigm shift in the industry. This last facility is Santa Paula. We just finished this facility and would encourage also the Coastal Commission to come see it. But that's the paradigm shift I'm here to share with all of you today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before you start my time, my name is Jeff Edwards, and I'd like to queue up my PowerPoint, please.
All right, not a problem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, my name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos and a 25-year supporter of a wastewater project for the community. However, unfortunately, since SI was found in January, there have been no changes to the project before you. The issue is water. Make no mistake about it. This discussion fundamentally is not about the collection system. It's not about what happens to the Tri-W site. It's not about the USDA money. These are all red herrings. The real crux of this matter is the water and achieving conservation and basin recharge.
We're holding your time.
Thank you.
That gets worked out.
This is the basin. Seawater intrusion, as you heard, is accelerating, and would like to point out the creek area, which is right here, that the lower basin subcrops or daylights at the creek. This is a strategic location for recharging our groundwater basin. Our basin is at a tipping point. The proposed project is inconsistent with LCP Coastal Watershed Policy 1. It fails to recognize that the conjunctive use opportunities that exist between the lower basin, the creek, and the creek compartment. Also, Condition 97, which is part of the disposal plan, underestimates flows. We're not at 700 acre feet per year. We're closer to 1,100 or 1,200 acre feet per year. Most importantly, we must, within a $165 million budget, not only address the wastewater aspects, but deal with the water. This is our basin. Overview of the shows the recharge or reuse areas. I would submit that this is infeasible. All the shades of green that you see, almost none of that will be reused in the context of a reuse project. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Barry Brannon, Alan Perlman, Stephen Page, and Chuck Sassina.
Thank you, Coastal Commission. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay, Los Osos. At the last time I spoke before you, I was asking you to look hard at the location of the Giacomazzi site and address the wetlands issue, and thank you very much. The wetlands issue were revisited by your staff, and they were noted, and they were quite a bit different than presented to you. I'd like to talk further on that. The amount of land that's left after all of the effects of the wetlands are addressed and on the other environmental issues is a very small footprint. And the only way to solve that, put the plant that is needed to be built on that small footprint is to look at the PERC process. The PERC process is just finished at Santa Paula. It's a complete process that using MBR system. And what's nice about it is they can put the whole plant on an acre and a half. 1.5 acres, the entire plant. And when it's done, they come out with UV water. And with the program that they have very little salt, if any, coming out of the plant. So therefore, you'll have water that can be reused on ag exchange. Without the clean water, if they just treat it tertiarily with chemicals, the water that comes from the plant will not be reusable. And so this is probably the most important thing that you can ask is, what are you going to do? How are you going to design the plant? I have not seen any specific design, and it needs to come back to this group so that you can require the county to use the highest and best technology. Water reuse is, you've heard it over and over again, and unless the plant, wherever it is put, is designed so that the effluent that comes out of the plant, the salt is gone and the chemicals are not there, it won't be usable. The Santa Paula people, they took all of the salt using water softeners out of the town. They had a program with that. They reduced the salt that was coming into the sewage treatment plant. And then when it went to the UV process, and then the salt that came, there was hardly any salt, and we can have reuse. But unless the commission requires that the county use a higher and best plant, we won't get this. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Okay. Should I just speak and then interrupt it when?
Okay. We'll just hold until they get your, and then if you could just state your name for the record.
My name is Alon Perlman. I happen to be the first person to postulate. It was 3 months before the report was released. I postulated that there would be a finger intrusion. I've also advocated a step for 4 years, but at this point, that's not the project in front of you, so I would like to address a few other things. The commission cannot expect its staff to be able to micromanage this project beyond what it's done. Public participation has been crucial to have brought us here, and I hope there are many more opportunities. But on the other hand, the commission has allowed itself to become distracted. For example, Willow Creek simply doesn't collect that much waters from septic tanks. In fact, it may even have a contribution from houses which are outside the prohibition zone, which will remain online once the project continues. Willow Creek does not recharge the aquifer. I think you have to concentrate on the physical return of the reclaimed waters into the aquifer. That is your highest priority. And I think you've been distracted out of that by a number of other things. There's a lot of things that have happened that were good in this project, a lot of things that were poor. The project currently expects a 5-foot sea rise. That's not expected in the end of the century. You have, the project's only supposed to last for 30 years. I'm very concerned that the waters returned to this project may not go into the areas of recharge. I'm even more concerned that they will not go, and by the way, I'm not sure if the slides are showing, that happens to be Tri-W. I'll distract myself. That Tri-W has to become that's its ESH as it's being seen. I see them almost all the time. Tri-W is a retention basin. All the storm waters from a Palisades project go there. Soils are being transported off the property right now. It doesn't feed Sweet Springs. That has to be looked at as a project in itself. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Steve Page, Prohibition Zone resident. This thing's getting away from me here. Okay. I have a PowerPoint, and I'd just like to put on slide 2, please. Okay. You may start. The County of San Luis Obispo, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the California Coastal Commission have no right to assume trespass on our properties to condemn and decommission existing on-site septic tanks because they are a zero-discharge component, as reiterated by Roger Briggs at the May 13th Water Board hearing. Since the septic tank alone has no discharge, then it meets the zero-discharge requirements of Resolution 8313 by the Water Board, thus the component cannot be condemned. The Coastal Commission, by assuming the need for a decommissioning plan, is assuming a taking of beneficial use from private property owners without permission or compensation. The septic tank is a waste processing fixture like a garbage disposal sink or toilet. It is not a discharge device like a leach field. The Coastal Commission staff, by ignoring this fact, ignoring enforcement of Section 30010 of the Coastal Act. The California State Constitution clearly requires eminent domain proceedings and compensation for septic tank decommissioning before any on-site work commences. On-site waste processing is a right. You must not assume that you can take that right without monetary compensation of about $50 million. You must continue this permit and evaluate this regulatory taking under Section 30010 of the Coastal Act, and not assume to not do so would assume would be negligent. with a prevailing claim by a class action suit for that $50 million, the difference in cost becomes your liability. You already had Mr. Daniel Ripley get up here and say it's a $50 million cost difference. That's going to be your liability in a class action suit. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe this is the last speaker, Chuck Sasina. And then we'll have rebuttal from the city.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Chuck Sasina. Forgive me if I don't look you straight in the eye. I need to read this to make sure I get it all in. I am a member of the Los Osos CSD, have been since the 2005 recall. I'm not representing that board today. I was as president in late 2007 at a teleconference between County Public Works staff, their consultants, and the head of the peer review panel at the National Water Research Institute, who the county had hired to review their engineering consultants' work. The reviewer had to be very careful with his words because his institute is funded partially by the wastewater industry, who is comprised mostly of gravity sewer specialists. Nevertheless, he finally at one point said, "I am having trouble not using the words gravity bias to describe your consultant's work." This shouldn't be a surprise because earlier in 2007, when AB 2701 had just passed, then County Public Works Director stated at a Board of Supervisors meeting, "Los Osos, you're getting a gravity sewer, get over it." He retired soon after. The engineer was replaced with a spin doctor. Since then, $7 million has been spent developing a project that, if Public Works had its way, would have dumped our water outside the groundwater basin on spray fields. Your staff, the community, and many others worked to correct the flaws in that project. Unfortunately, many of the regulators were not wastewater experts, and so they did not challenge the county's assumptions regarding collection systems. A step collection system has many advantages, the biggest being that it's watertight over time, which is critical in the liquefaction-prone soils of Los Osos, where some of the lines are going to be within 20 feet of salt marsh, 200 feet from the mud flats at the south end of Morro Bay, a state marine reserve and national estuary. If these reasons don't interest you in providing STEP an opportunity in the county's process, the $50 million savings should. The county touts their project as the least environmentally damaging. Tri-W made that claim at one time, too. Here's the textbook that Mr. Ripley's work is featured in. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that's the last speaker. So we'll go to the city for rebuttal. I believe you had 8 minutes plus for rebuttal, sir.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what your status is. I was hoping for just a short biology break, and that would give us a time to get our other support slides.
Well, we're scheduled to break for lunch. We could break for lunch now and come back. We're scheduled a half an hour.
That'd be great.
All right, so with that in mind, we will...
Pardon me?
Okay, well, for the commissioners, we've made arrangements to eat here in this hotel, and we're just breaking for a half an hour. So there's a buffet, and there is for the public as well in the restaurant, if that helps anyone. Our tent is just to break for 30 minutes and come back then, and we'll come back and get the city's rebuttal. And just remind everyone not to talk to us because we're in the middle of the hearing. And thank you for... don't talk to us. Yeah, thank you. Bye. Are we good on the sound? All right, thank you. The commission is back in session, and as we've noticed our agenda to accept general public comment either before lunch or after lunch. We have to take that first, and I apologize for those who are here on the hearing item, but we just have a few speakers for public comment, and I'll read off the names. Just a reminder that you cannot address the hearing matter because we are still in deliberations with regard to Los Osos, so these will just have to be general public comments. Piper Riley, John Nahas, Alan Perlman, I think it's Gwen Taylor, Al Barrow, and C.V. Beck. So you state your name for the record, and just a reminder that, you know, these must be general comments and not specific to the hearing item.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. Jerry Brown recently said that we need honesty, frugality, and innovation in order to move the state forward. In that regard, a problem we all seem to have is resource management, especially when it comes to water, and innovation is desperately needed. At last month's Central Coast Water Board hearing, it was recognized that some 1,500 Central Coast farms have a dire effect on the health of our drinking water supply because of nitrogen runoff from fertilizer being completely unregulated. Another significant contributor to water pollution is our ailing infrastructure, particularly leaking conventional gravity systems. For instance, each day, about 1 billion gallons of partially treated sewage is dumped into the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta and associated waterways. Though much of the infrastructure is older, areas such as the city of Lathrop on the San Joaquin recently used new materials and elastomeric bell and spigot pipes. But since the technology is utilized as still conventional gravity, even though it uses updated materials, infiltration and exfiltration has proven to be a big problem. Studies have shown that regardless of materials used, INI will increase with time. Monitoring was not an effective solution. High nitrate levels found their way into the adjacent San Joaquin, and the treatment facility was also adversely affected because of the quantity and quality of the effluent entering the system. This was in the middle of the state. If you were to install one of these gravity systems in the sandy coastal soils near fault lines, infiltration and exfiltration will occur very quickly. Also in the nitrate pollution puzzle is the issue of septic tanks, some of which have been permitted under poor conditions and have become problematic. A recent Butte County study determined that a quarter acre and 10 feet of AdoZone is adequate for a septic tank and leach field to function properly. Also in 2009, the Central Coast Water Board discussed the efficacy of septic tanks and determined that they would function best if they were allowed to go through the natural process of nitrification and denitrification in order for the solids to naturally break down and not to pump the tanks with any regularity, but rather to check them every 5 years and then pump as needed. We are running out of clean water globally, and on the Central Coast, seawater intrusion is a prevalent problem. Strong conservation plans need to be implemented in these areas. Many of these towns, the public is completely unaware of the critical nature of their water supply. The LCP covers protecting the viability of water basins as well as ensuring the ability for the average citizen to pay for rectifying problems. As your commission will be permitting several Central Coast water treatment plants in the near future, I hope that you will insist on honesty, frugality, and innovation to solve our complex problems. On the Central Coast, you will be seeing several projects that will be proposed by Montgomery Watson Harza. As I stated before, they are being investigated in three different states, and I did submit additional information on that. Thank you for
all
your
right.
time.
Thank you very much. John Nahas?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is John Nahas. I'm with the Boating Coalition and LAMariner.com. While we all miss Peter, and while we are unsure of his length of absence, our coastal activists and enthusiasts are concerned about the confidence of this Commission's perseverance. Your great leader, Chairwoman Neely, has showed tremendous perseverance and demonstrated that in the article in the LA Times. While Commissioner Blank's comments have been and may have been misquoted in the New York Times, it highlights the issue that we have to be cautious in speaking with the media. In no way is this commission going to implode. In my short term in working with this commission and helping to protect and and enhance public access in the harbor of Marina del Rey, I have noticed this commission evolve and draw national attention far from the shores of California. This commission has great leadership, and Chairwoman Neely and Vice Chairman Schallenberger. Our coastal access proponents are very optimistic with our outstanding new commissioners, Mark Stone, Esther Sanchez, and Ross McRaimi. This commission provides a great model for public involvement in the government process. Your new leadership has provided even more public access in the process by providing multiple public comment periods. We hope that the commission will continue to evolve and give equal public access to you commissioners in the way of ex parte communications. Some of you provide ex parte, and some of you don't. But some of you apparently make yourselves available to only one side, and that needs to be corrected. This evolution needs to happen soon. Commissioner Schallenberger's comments during this morning's public comments about the commission's inability to act on developments not before you is important. Combined with her comments at last year's League of Cities workshop, where she stated, "It's not that we don't trust you," she was talking to the local jurisdictions. She continues on, "It's that we heard a lot of testimony from the public that certain jurisdictions are not providing a lot of public involvement." Combine that with your own commissioners, which have stated to you numerous times that the public process in Los Angeles County and in Marina del Rey is atrocious, that this is essentially the only forum to speak on development issues and Coastal Act violations. The compound The compound map and text amendment, which is rolling towards you, and we call that a tsunami, is in a year's time, is going to make the Port of San Diego debacle, is going to make the Port of San Diego debacle look like child's play. So the reason we're bringing these issues to you now is that we, and today's ask that, is to have your
Sorry,
staff
sir.
Be able to communicate with all of us.
Thank you, sir.
The Public Hearings Commission.
Alan Perlman.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Alon Perlman, and I declare, I believe with the chair earlier, I'll be speaking to saltwater intrusion as it affects all coastal communities. And we'll try an experiment, see if these little cards work, and I may need a little magnification as when you get to me. And so we start out here in a situation where we have coastal communities, and those cities are supplied by whales. We have the salt line over here. When we talk about groundwater, the whole area is filled with both, with, of course, this is underground, so there's the ground, there's air spaces, and then there's water. And the water is at equilibrium with salt water from the ocean over here. As these wells start to draw in, you get a situation which is a draw vector, and you start seeing it move in. These wells are drawing from all directions, but as they establish the pressure, and if rains don't fill them in or other natural processes fill them in, there's always a salt ready to move in. And that's a situation that happens all up and down the coast. If you look at this, that was a view from above. If you look at it from the side, you have over here, you have a well going down. That well may sample from different areas. The additional complications may be that you have strata. You have, for example, you can have sands, clays, and gravel. If you have a gravel bed that's oriented in this way, and you're putting a draw from a well, you're going to develop a stronger pull, a stronger draw. Looking again from above, if I can find it. This is a typical situation of what happens when you have, for example, a couple of wells. As these wells draw out, you actually create a deficit in the groundwater. You think of it as a negative space. Think of it as a well that goes downwards. There's actually less water in this area. My main point in talking to you about this today, and I hope that I'm sure you know this, but the public should learn this too, is once you create this a condition, it has a memory. Even if you stop pumping immediately, even if you cease all pumping, even if you cease drawing water out, that depression remains there. And until it's filled from all directions by rain, there's still the salt water available at a high pressure, which will continue to intrude over time until this is flattened out, until it is zero. So hopefully I told you about, you understand, finger intrusions, pumping depressions, deficits, and draw vectors. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. And the next speaker is, I believe, Gwen Taylor.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I've been before this commission many times. The commission and the communities have to realize that the San Luis Obispo County's coastal area are having saltwater intrusion in their areas, in their basins, Oceano, Grover Beach, Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cayucas, and other areas along the coast are having saltwater intrusion in their water basins now. Some of these communities have supplemental water piped in. Others do not. State Water, Nacimiento, desal plants are all on the drawing board if something does not take place to curtail the saltwater intrusion in these communities. The need for imported water would be another albatross around the necks of these communities, as most of them are on an area where there are a number of low-income residents. Low-income residents are not just residents who are elderly. We have a number of people who are in a financial economic problem due to the residential, we'll call it, debacle. Please understand that saltwater intrusion is coastwise. It needs to be addressed before you find that you are doing permits for desal plants all up and down the coast of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you. Al Barrow and then C.B. Beck.
I said good morning, now I get to say good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Appreciate the time. And I think we're all in agreement that we're all human beings and we all have to compassion for each other. And to that end, I think affordability in all your decisions has to be one of the higher priorities in your decision-making process. And I'm just talking about all the issues that you have in general. There has been a move to gentrify the coastal area, and it's difficult for working class people or retired or disabled people to meet their housing requirements. But at the same time, we have in our county, we have a workforce housing coalition, which is based an industry-based organization. And they're even concerned about being able to have a place for workers to live. So if you look at the coastal areas like where we are right now, I doubt if you could find an affordable place within 5 miles from here. I could be wrong unless there's some kind of rent control. But I think because the economy has been so devastating to property owners, whether they're commercial or whether they're residential, a lot of properties are close to being upside down. I know my property management company, I'm on very good terms with them, and they have said that as expenses increase on housing, the disposable income for the household decreases. And that does two things to the community. It makes it difficult for people to have housing. And then the second thing it does, it makes it difficult for the community to have money spent in the economy because the disposable income has shrunk so much. And we all know that the economy, look at the stock market, and that's 40% loss since June of 2008. I mean, that's a big loss to pension funds, all kinds of things. So across the world, we're seeing this huge, huge impact on income. People that run businesses have a hard time surviving. People in my community are down over 20% in the shopping centers for their income. When you make a decision about something that's an expense for a community, please take into consideration that you're going to be hurting a lot of people if you don't make an affordable decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. C.B. Beck.
I would just like to say I'm opposed to the...
State your name for the record, ma'am.
My name is Carol Beck. I live at Lincoln Place for 18 years now. I'm opposed to the overnight parking districts. I think it's a pretext for a kind of an ethnic cleansing that I think is despicable.
Excuse me. That's an item that was on the agenda for this commission meeting.
I couldn't get here.
But this
the
is
other
for
day.
Items
I'm
that are
disabled.
Not on the agenda.
I had other things I had to do, but I just wanted to go on the record about it. And that's all I have to say. I'm opposed to overnight parking districts.
Thank you, Ms. Beck. Okay, that's the end of public comment. And then we'll go back to our hearing item, and we're ready to hear the rebuttal from San Luis Obispo. I'm sorry. Staff, did you have a comment?
I believe the county had approximately 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 45 seconds.
Yeah, just give it him nine. Just put it on nine. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I'll try to be succinct. One of the things that I want to really start off with is that I didn't hear in some of the comments, and I did not hear concerns regarding the special conditions recommended by your staff. I think it's very positive. Nor did I hear concerns or citations to the 100-plus conditions established through our Planning Commission and ultimately approved by our Board of Supervisors. I recognize that probably in a lot of the hearings that your commission has, we did hear comments that did not really seem to address coastal resource issues. We did hear some comments on our process, and I think your staff noted that we've had over 100 public meetings since we picked up the responsibilities under AB 2701. And the point of emphasis that I really want to make on our process is that we started with the needs of the Regional Water Quality Control Board and Resolution 83, and then we worked through addressing coastal resource issues so that the project that was approved by our Planning Commission and approved by our Board of Supervisors and the project that is in front of you today meets the standards of both agencies. On the matter of Brodersen not working, not only will it work, as confirmed by your staff hydrogeologist, the application rates are about half of what the prior project would have applied. To me, Brodersen is so important in order to avoid ocean discharges, bay discharges, and surface water discharges, and to get that water percolating right back over the basin. I believe that that is it is an excellent project. It's an excellent model. And the process that we're going to go through on plan approvals through your executive director, in my mind, is going to further collaborative efforts and our ability to jointly show successes between the Coastal Commission and local agencies on noteworthy projects, I think is important in order to show that government in California can and does work. On the matter of the Lupin Pump Station, special condition number 1D3, I believe, on page 88, specifically created the 75-foot setback and it has caused us to modify some of the locations and in order to avoid wetlands. On the matter of the Midtown Pump Station, one of the graphics that was provided by one of the commenters was an alternative that has been dismissed. And the special conditions, minimum visual impacts, minimal site impacts, the generator is going to be moved to a corner of the community park that's already disturbed. Regarding the step system overall, many of the comments I believe that you received largely do not identify coastal resource issues. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, we are very much concerned about affordability and many issues, but delays and significant uncertainties with that technology themselves are going to have significant risks associated with the feasibility of the project. We just simply do not believe that it's a technology to retrofit a densely community, which would require new tanks as many as 12 tanks per acre. Your staff conclusions on this particular point is that there is not a significant difference in terms of coastal resource protection by switching to step-based collection system. And Billy, if you could pop up the one slide that I want to share, because you know, this to me obviously is some of the facilities. You know, whether you were talking about a gravity or a step system, we're still talking about 44 miles of pipeline. And there is no way we can construct 44 miles of pipeline without having it be an expensive system. The length of pressure systems themselves is different. You know, if a pressure system leaks and breaks, then it's pushing untreated effluent into the groundwater basin. Versus a gravity system, if there's a leak, it tends to pick it up. And to the degree that it's already polluted, you know, both systems need to be maintained. But the idea that one is clearly superior to the other just doesn't hold water. The pumping locations themselves, granted the 22 in a gravity system are bigger pumps, but you have nearly 5,000 pumping systems in the step system, and the comparison then of the access and the manholes and the potentials. One of the points that the regional board made to us early is that if you have a tenant and they don't pay their power bill, and therefore their step pump isn't working, that the sewage can back up and then, you know, you can have problems in that way. Either system is going to have maintenance requirements, and both systems have challenges. It is simply infrastructure that has to be maintained, and in the past often hasn't been maintained. So, you know, again, I think that the level of diligence of your staff, of everybody, and, you know, as I did in my opening remarks, I do very much appreciate everybody who's been participating in the process. I heard some comments about how they felt like it got better as we moved along, even though we still have some differences, and I wanted to reiterate that. But at this time, in our conclusion, I want Deputy County Counsel Tim McNulty to come up, because there wasn't an argument during public comment that I didn't follow altogether, but it addressed the issue of the overall feasibility and affordability associated with feasibility, and some sort of a theory then that would have the commission provide conditions associated with bidding. And again, so I'm requesting our county council to try to address that particular portion of public comment.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Tim McNulty. I'm with the county council's office in San Luis Obispo. I specifically wanted to address comments that were made by Mr. Ripley and Mr. Christie regarding the Coastal Act definition of a treatment works. If I understood the argument correctly, both these individuals have argued that because the definition of a treatment works in the Coastal Act is defined by citing to the definition of a treatment works in the Clean Water Act, the Federal Clean Water Act, and because that definition has a reference to affordability or least cost, that you should reach the conclusion that you need to create a condition that specifies returning to a design-build process in order to guarantee that there is some sort of cost evaluation as part of your approval. I think the argument fails because the Coastal Act definition of a treatment works isn't the only place in the Coastal Act that treatment works are referred to. In the Public Resources Code Section 30412 that Dr. Lester referred to at the beginning of today's hearing, there's a very specific set of review standards that the commission is required to follow in order to approve a treatment works. And I think that what's being suggested by the commenters is beyond what would be within the scope of 30412. And I just wanted to point out that if you were trying to define what the commission ought to be looking at in reviewing a treatment works and how it ought to be measured, you wouldn't go to that definition in the Clean Water Act to do that. You'd go to the more specific section in the Public Resources Code that actually tries to specify how a treatment works ought to be evaluated. That's all I had. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, I'm Bruce Gibson, County Supervisor of the 2nd District, San Luis Obispo County. Simply to say that that concludes our comments in rebuttal and add my thanks to your staff and to you for your consideration.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll take it back to staff then for final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioners. As I said at the outset, we did do our best to focus on the 7 major issues that this commission identified in the substantial issue hearing back in January, and our presentation and staff recommendation spends considerable time evaluating those for consistency with the LCP. However, we also did do a de novo review, and the staff recommendation includes discussion of other issues that are required to be addressed under the LCP, and we have not found significant inconsistencies with the county project with the addition of our recommended special conditions. No significant inconsistencies with the LCP. I did want to reiterate, as was just mentioned and I said at the outset, that our review is specifically limited under Section 30412 of the Coastal Act with respect to, quote, treatment works. And there is no doubt that the collection system is part of the definition of a treatment work, but then the Act goes on to specify that our review should only be determinative of the siting and visual design of the treatment work, as well as sizing and capacity and issues related to that in terms of a treatment work. So there are certain issues that are not on the table for you that in general fall squarely within the jurisdiction of the regional board in terms of water quality issues. For example, the level of nitrate treatment, for example, would not be an issue that 30412 allows us to get at. So there is that concern, and I think there is a concern, as our chief counsel may also want to say at some point, about whether or not STEP would qualify as something that could be reviewed under that section. But again, as the staff report says and in our addendum, we do say to the extent that it may raise coastal resource issues, we have looked at the county's analysis, and as was just summarized by the Director of Public Works, have not found a significant LCP inconsistency issue when you compare the collection system step versus the one that's being proposed, the gravity system, with traditional siting and coastal concerns such as ESHA protection, for example. There were a number of comments with respect to seawater intrusion. I think I've lost my... Sorry about that. Got one. Started to bother me, so I had to. So a number of comments have been made about seawater intrusion and needing to be addressed, and there is a significant seawater intrusion issue in Los Osos, one that's been long identified, including in the LCP, with policies designed to deal with that. This project does go a long way towards addressing seawater intrusion, including the disposal plan for the Broderson site and recharging the aquifer. This will mitigate, the project has been designed to mitigate direct potential impacts to seawater intrusion by the removal of the current septage flows from the basin. So that's the point of the requirement to reuse the disposal water within the basin to do that recharge. But this problem is also a function of the current water withdrawals that are occurring in the basin, and those are not directly in front of us at this time. That to the extent that there are water purveyors drawing from specific wells that are part of this problem. And that issue is ongoing on a parallel track, including through a stipulated judgment process that the county has been participating in. And that will continue, and the project is designed by the county, and our conditions specifically provide for maximum coordination between that process and the basin plan that would be required under conditions 5. So while we can't directly manage the water withdrawals through this process, we recognize that that is a piece of this puzzle, and that will be addressed through this project, I think, to the maximum extent appropriate given what this project is, a wastewater treatment project. And again, with Special Condition 5, comments were made about the need for a water basin plan and a more comprehensive approach, and a lot of material has been submitted to you on that. We do believe that Special Condition 5 addresses that concern in an appropriate way, given what we know now. It includes conservation and reuse programs, building on what the county has already developed, And while there may be differences in the detail of that water management proposal and how you would deal with certain inputs and outputs, there are inherent uncertainties in this complex problem right now, and we feel that the appropriate way to do that is through the monitoring and adaptive management that we've built into the plan that would be reviewed by your staff through the plan submittal process. Dr. Johnson, who's a certified hydrogeologist, has reviewed the materials and found them to be a reasonable modeling of the situation, and the assumptions, while there are many, are reasonable, and has not found a significant flaw with that process. He's available for questions if you have any more specific concerns about the hydrological pieces. And finally, with respect to costs, again, while it is true that we were attempting to move this forward, and particularly at this hearing, in an effort to facilitate the opportunity for federal funding, significant federal funding, that's really the only mechanism we have in your toolbox here to address the question of costs in trying to facilitate the reduction of costs if we can somehow secure $80 million of federal money for this project. So beyond that, though, we don't really have a policy or an LCP basis to directly take on costs. There was a reference made to the affordability that's encouraged through Chapter 306.10 of the Coastal Act. That's not a Chapter 3 policy. We don't have a basis under Chapter 3 to require projects to be affordable, although obviously it's a concern. And, you know, in that sense, I would just wrap up saying that there are a lot of passionate concerns here, and including concerns about the affordability of this project, and it will be expensive when it happens. Exactly how expensive, it probably remains to be seen a little bit, but this has been a long process, and there are going to be differences of opinion in something this complicated and this large, and we feel like the county's project with our special conditions adequately addresses the requirements of the LCP.
All right. Thank you, staff. I'll bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Shaju.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 8-3-SLO-0905569 pursuant to the staff recommendation, and I recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
Very briefly, Madam Chair. On January 14, when we heard this item in front of us, the Coastal Commission did take jurisdiction over this CDP application. At that time, we directed staff to focus on seven main issue areas requiring additional clarification and corrections. I believe the in-depth report by staff does address those seven areas as best as it can be, and not to mention that there are additional 111 conditions put forth by the county itself. The affordability issue has always been a concern to all parties, not just the commission here and the staff, and also on the Board of Supervisors level. There have been several trips to Washington where members of the board have traveled to be sure that there are grants and loans available to make this as affordable as possible. I truly believe that any delay this project can cause more damage to the environment, and it can become more expensive than it is. The efforts of the supervisors and the county staff still as good as it can be to go after more funding that could be available to make this, again, affordable. But what's in front of us here today are the direction given to staff from our previous meeting to clarify and address the issues brought forward by this commission, the seven conditions that were put forward, and I believe they've done a good job responding to those needs and concerns, and I believe we're ready to move forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Schallenberger?
Well, I will just second much of that to say that the current situation is, I believe, environmentally untenable that exists there now. I think that from everything I can tell, the county and the district and the water board and our staff have worked very hard and very well addressing the issues that lie within the purview of this commission. There are some that I heard in public testimony which are not within our purview. One is the affordability, and another one is specifically what kind of treatment is applied here, and that's really not up to not within our jurisdiction. So I think that they've done a good job. So I think that there may be we may have some commissioners who want to make some small changes, but I think in general they have come up with the most environmentally protective solution for protecting our coastal resources, and I appreciate everybody who's worked so hard on it doing that.
Thank you. Commissioner Wan.
Can I have just a couple of quick questions, one of staff. Dr. Lester, when you were talking about, I think it's condition 5 on the recharge and reuse program, and that you said it wasn't intended to imply that additional sites other than Broderson could not be used. But the current system does remove 8 acres of the plans of ESHA on the Broderson site for leach fields. And so my question is there some way to at least direct the county that if there are other possible areas for the reuse and the recharge that would avoid eventually the use on Broderson, that they should consider those in kind of, you know, a priority order? I'm not saying that they have to do it because I don't know whether there are other sites, but it seems to me I'm just looking at the priority. I'm not just not precluding the use of other sites, but indicating that if you can avoid that impact to the ESHA, that's what you should do.
I think within the context of the condition that identifies the reuse of the water in a way that's most beneficial to the overall groundwater basin, including addressing seawater intrusion, that to the extent it was feasible to do that, that would be consistent with this condition. And I believe that the county would be okay with that approach and saying something to the effect that you may use Broderson unless it's feasible to not need to use Broderson and that you achieve the equivalent mitigation of the seawater intrusion issue.
I think you Mr. Supervisor Gibson, I think you understand what we're saying here. It's not a requirement, but it's if you can accomplish the same things without using Broderson, that should be preferable.
Certainly that would be a basics of our LCP to avoid it if it's feasible and also if the alternative is beneficial to the resources at least as much as it was. So in that sense, we're agreeable to that.
Okay, and then don't go away because I have my last question, and that is on the Walker site where there was some apparently unpermitted development, which has nothing to do with this, but it could conceivably be a violation if there was removal of habitat. And what I'm going to ask is that you work with the staff, and if it's determined that prior to the unpermitted activity there was actually ESHA on the site, that you work to resolve that violation and get it restored.
All right. I do. Let me turn to.
I don't know whether it was because nobody discussed what it was like prior to the violation.
You have an idea on what it was like.
I'm not certain what it was for. I have.
We need your name for the record,
I'm sorry,
please.
Pablo Ogren, again, Public Works Director. I've only heard things at the county, but we will follow up with the enforcement division of the Department of Planning and Building.
And that's what I'm asking,
yes,
is that, that you follow up on it and check to see what it was like beforehand. I realize it's degraded now, but it might not have been prior to the activity. And if it turns out that there's that it was some removal of habitat, that you work quickly to resolve that and get that restored.
I'll certainly do so.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner comments? We have a motion and a second. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Any other comments from anyone? Okay. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit. On the grounds that the development as conditioned will be in conformity with the policies of the San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Program, the public access and recreational policies of the Coastal Act.
Okay. Can I go
Thank
home
you,
now?
Everyone, for your participation. Charles, did you have a question or comment?
Just that's the end of the meeting, and we'll see you next month in Santa Rosa, I believe.
All right. And Commissioner Shajian, did you have some comments?
Cigars and drinks are our main.
Oh, all right.
All right, thank you everyone for participating today. Thanks to the commissioners.